Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. By Kehoe Eye Care. They care for people, not just eyes. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg. You better call Dave's. By Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Hinchliffe Pearson West, funeral directors and cremation services in Galesburg and Abingdon. Here for you and your family in your time of need. By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Solvera Health in Galesburg, bringing hospitality to healthcare. Now, the WGIL broadcast team of Brad Benowitz, Sean Hickey, and Jake Miller with Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Welcome to Galesburg High School Football here on WGIL. Silver Streaks at home to open the Western Big Six Conference season. And they'll be taking on the Sterling Golden Warriors, a team that has had the number of the Silver Streaks for many years, even before that they became a regular in the Western Big, a new conference opponent as of just a few years ago. Looking through the records, last time we beat them, I remember a thrilling game in 94, I think it was. 28-27 in overtime is the last game that I could find where the Silver Streaks defeated them. So, got a little history on Sterling's thigh, but of course, keeping in mind it hasn't been continuous for 30-some years. There was a big break in there where they were not a non-conference opponent on the Silver Streaks schedule. Obviously a football opponent now in all sports because they're part of the Western Big Six Conference. We do have the national anthem. Let's pause and listen to the Marching Streaks. For Marching Streaks, tonight's national anthem and a gorgeous night for football pretty much anywhere around the area, but certainly here at Van Dyke Field at F&M Bank Stadium. Freshman-sophomore team that combined for tonight's preliminary game against the Golden Warriors, and the Silver Streaks won it big, 34-7. Let's take a look at what else is happening around the area in the Western Big Six tonight as we get the conference season started. Geneseo is at United Township tonight. Maple Leafs 1-1, UT is 0-2. The Moline Maroons, after a tight game and a tough loss to Lyle Benet last week, takes on a Quincy team that's 2-0, so an early indication of a couple of teams that are favored to certainly be in the top half of the Western Big Six Conference, if not playing out for the title. Alleman is at Rock Island tonight, both teams 1-1, as head coach Fritz Judonet got his first win in his second season as the Alleman head coach in the opener a couple of weeks ago. And then here tonight, the Golden Warriors coming in at 1-1, taking on a Silver Streaks team that's also 1-1. Geneseo's two games this year, they defeated Lakes High School out of Lake Villa 40-7 in the opener, and then went to Wheaton St. Francis last week, a team that's traditionally goes pretty deep into the playoffs, just as Sterling typically does, and it was an 8-point victory for Wheaton St. Francis, which is what brings Sterling into this matchup tonight at 1-1. Silver Streaks, of course, lost the opener at Dunlap, won their home opener last week with the Harvey Thornton Wildcats in town. Silver Streaks won the toss, deferred to the second half. They will kick with the wind behind them, and Sterling will receive in the north end zone, moving hour left to right. They have a couple of quarterbacks that they'll play. Cale Ryan, a 6-foot, 200-pound senior. J.P. Schilling, a 6-foot, 175-pound senior. And, of course, if you follow Sterling Athletics closely, you certainly know Schilling's name from basketball, if nothing else. The Ryan name has been pretty strong and deep in the Sterling football program. They've got a number of wide receivers, actually, but, of course, the running game is their strength. A.J. Kested, 5'11", 160-pound senior, and Antonio Tablante is certainly had an impact in the game last year when Sterling rallied for 18 unanswered points in the fourth quarter and came back to beat the Silver Streaks. Tablante listed at 6'1", 210, also a senior. So they'll start off on offense on tonight's game in another gorgeous night. Jake, we've got down on the field again, his happy place on Friday nights to be down there, and a decent breeze even coming up through the press box, so we know it's got to be blowing, but is it blowing down on the field where the players are going to feel the impact, Jake?
Not too much, guys. It is. There's certainly this first 3 weeks of the season been no dearth of perfect football weather because it is another gorgeous night down here, a little bit of breeze, but the flag is fairly limp up there. Our kickers will have no problems. Our quarterbacks will have no problems. It's just another beautiful night for football. The Galesburg Silver Streaks again with their black tops, gray pants, and their silver helmets looking like the Raiders out there. I know, Brad, you don't like that.
But, I do not. No.
They look sharp.
Just going to work that in every time, aren't
you? Sir.
Subjugate me to that nonsense. Now I tolerate you guys sometimes.
Uh-huh.
All right. As we said, Silver Streaks deferred to the second half, so they'll kick this one away. Again, freshmen, sophomores, already winners here tonight in the combined teams. Deep to receive for Sterling. They'll have A.J. Kested back there standing, kind of moving a little bit to his right at the 15-yard line. Also deep to receive for the Golden Warriors, Braden Herrera, another senior. Pretty senior-dominated team. And these are seniors who got a lot of playing time last year. You heard the discussion in the pregame about the injuries that they sustained and created some depth issues. But it also, as you heard Coach John Schlemmer talked about, created a lot of opportunities for players last year as well, and a team that went 7-2 in the regular season and got a lot of valuable winning experience, not just playing experience. So the kick is underway. The Silver Streaks try to go deep. Backs up Kested, running back to his 2. Now circles around to the 15, gets a little opening at the 20, spins off a tackle, and right into Geno Williams, who takes him down at the 27-yard line, where Sterling will begin its first snap of the game here tonight.
I was kind of wondering how Sterling would line up, seeing on film where Galesburg directionally kicked all last week. And I was wondering if we were going to directionally kick again, where Sam just kind of picks a spot, you know, on the numbers down around the 25 or 30. This time he goes deep and backs him all the way up. Nice return, but still pretty much the same result. It is hard for a high school football team to drive the ball 73 yards, but that's what Sterling has in front of them right now.
The offensive line, Lucas Austin, the left tackle, 6'6", 235, a junior. Anthony Spears, the left guard, 6'1", 175-pound senior. And Chase Ulrich, the center, 5'7", 195. Back to pass on first down, man open. In first down territory, crosses the 50. Isaiah Mendoza with a reception. And just like that, Sterling goes to the air with Schilling taking the opening snap as they'll rotate back and forth, and they move it immediately to the Galesburg 44-yard line.
Yeah, they hit the slot receiver and a two-receiver side right up the
seam. No huddle.
Yep.
Gain of 29. Hand off to the left side. Now breaking free up the far side. It's going to take it all the way. Boy. A.J. Kested, two plays, and, well, so much for being difficult for high school teams to take it 73 yards. Two plays. And we're not even 30 seconds into the game, and Sterling takes a 6-0 lead.
Yeah, made me eat my words there. Guys, I don't think Sterling's shown no-huddle offense all season. They come out and they throw kind of four verts and hit us in a soft spot for a big play on play one, and then just a little off-tackle zone and a missed tackle, and there he goes.
Off he goes.
So 27-yard pass play. Excuse me, a 29-yard pass play and a 44-yard touchdown run, and now the freshman kicker, Ryan Gebhardt, at 5'8", 145, in the Streaks put the rush on. Nolan Carl in from the right side, but he can't get to it. The kick is good. We're 22 seconds into the game, and Sterling takes an early 7-0 lead just like that.
Well, now we're going to get the ball here, and we can have the same opportunity. You know, what are we going to do with our first possession here? do we have any tricks up our sleeves? I mean, we talked about with Coach Hawkins, you know, what are we doing differently? Or Coach Blackwell, they put in some new passing routes, he said, during the pregame. So what are we going to come out and do here that might be different to do things that put some points on the board for us, because the Warriors came out with a no huddle and scored quickly.
Give me a chance to actually write my stats down. They did that so quickly.
It's kind of shock and awe here from Sterling here early in this thing. Again, not known to be a no-huddle team, not known to throw the ball first play of the game. But you have who you have. Obviously, they saw some things on film, right? They like the way we play against their two wide receivers on that side. They found a soft spot. So they watch film, too, just like we do. We're going to have to make adjustments.
Back to receive. The Sterling kickoff for the Silver Streaks back inside the 10-yard line. Amari Richardson, Marcus Lewis. Yep, men standing around the 20. And let's see what Gephardt does. He'll kick it a little bit short, far side of the field. Amari takes it at the 13-yard line. A little bit of a hole up the middle, crosses the 25, and the Silver Streaks will start their drive from the 27-yard line. It worked well for Sterling. Let's see what the Silver Streaks can put together here. Down 7-0 very early into the ballgame.
You know, it's no time to panic. We don't have to answer a shot with a shot. We just need to put together a drive, start with a first down, see if we can't move the chains and try to get in a little offensive rhythm here in this early in this ballgame.
Silver Streaks offensive line. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I was just going to say get your feet under you. So that's what we have to do here, establish that.
Jamari McDonald, left tackle, 6'1", 280 junior. John Willis, the left guard, 5'7", 170 junior. Aaron Kelly, the center, 6'3", 230. Tristan Legate, the quarterback. Out of the shotgun. Short drop, straight back, throws to the right side, pass complete, and stepping out of bounds on the far side of the field at about the 33-yard line.
Is that
Xavier Van Dyke?
I think it was.
Yes, it was. Xavier Van Dyke.
Have we seen him line up?
We have not, but they went four wides there, and that's not something we see a lot. But Xavier's
trying to think
there.
Of a time when he had gone out that direction.
Yeah.
So, Streak showing a little bit something new. That's why I hesitated. I was like, did I see that number right? Was that really 85? All right, gain of almost 7 on first down. Sweep to the outside. Amari trying to get to the corner, and the ankle tackle made just as he crosses the 30-yard line. He's going to be about a yard short of the first down. It'll bring up 3rd and 1, and not a first down, but we appreciate seeing short yardage, because we've already talked in the first couple of days what a struggle it's been for these Silver Streaks on third down so far this season.
Yeah, 3rd and 1, and you've got like 40 different plays you can call. When it's 3rd and 9, that narrows it down to like 8, right? So we've got a whole bunch of options out there for 3rd and 1. Tristan can move the pocket. We can give the ball up here. Going to go back to the tight end formation, power eye kind of in the shotgun. I would expect to see Amari get the football here.
They keep it on the ground. Amari running right, dives forward, gets the first down, and the Silver Streaks do what they need to do to answer the opening two-play scoring drive by Sterling. And they charge out a first down, and they'll have a new set of downs here at the 38-yard line after a gain of 2.
Like you said, Jake, straightforward, wasn't that? I mean, that was just basically like an ISO play.
Just ISO power.
Lead.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not mission accomplished here, but that's definitely a good start, right? You just got to move the football when you've been kind of shocked like that. It's easy to, oh, my gosh, we are, you know, in panic mode already, and, the game plan goes out the window. Coach is showing a lot of composure here. Get the first down, and let's get to work.
Trips to the right side with a tight end set lining up right. Tristan with a short drop, pressure on, steps up in the pocket, still on his feet, collapses around him, and he manages to scramble back to the 36-yard line. It could have been a much bigger loss, but he'll manage it to a loss of a couple, as the line couldn't hold, and there were white jerseys on every side of Tristan, including behind him, and he was able to step up in the collapsed pocket and at least manage it to a loss of 2.
Tristan walking a little gingerly here, hopefully just, some sort of contusion or something. He'll work it out as he gets going.
2nd and 12, Silver Streaks. Second series on this opening drive after churning out a first down on 3rd and 1. A little pressure from the right side. Throws it across the middle. Incomplete. Amari Richardson short. Overthrown him. And then underthrown to the deeper receivers, including Mason Kimmett. It brings up 3rd and 12.
If we could have connected on that, that could have been huge.
Yeah, Tristan isn't able to step into his throw right now. He's got a left foot issue. And you could tell if you understand the mechanics of a throw, he had the room to step up into it. He just didn't want to, so that's a concern.
Eicher brings the play in from the sideline. He and Amari and Geno Williams will split out wide to the right.
I expect some pressure here if they know that he can't move very well. Here they all come.
Here they come. He gets it across the middle, complete on a crossing route. First down Streaks at the 50. Geno spins out of a tackle, still hangs on, but taken down at the Sterling 45. That's a monster third down conversion for the Silver Streaks from third and long, and to move it not only into first down territory, but to cross midfield.
What a great play call, because here I am saying, hey, I see blood. I'm going to send everybody after him. And then we just run a route across the middle where the linebackers all blitz, vacated the area. We just dumped it right off, and Geno did the rest.
Gain of 19 on the play. And the Streaks cross midfield into Sterling territory at the 45-yard line now. How nice to see that big third down conversion on third and 12. But the Streaks already down 7-0. Clock rolls under 9 minutes to go here in the opening quarter. And a first down at the 45. Short drop by Tristan, going long, high up in the air. Ooh. Man on the far side got pushed down from the backside, it looked like. Mikey couldn't chase it down. Looked like maybe a hand in the back. I don't know if that was enough to knock Mikey off balance or if he was just trying to sell it a little bit, but no flag called on Isaiah Mendoza. It'll be second and 10.
Yeah, just kind of a timing route there. Tristan's picking a spot that him and Mikey have worked out in practice all week and during games, and it wasn't too far off, right? It was a pretty decent ball. Mikey got separation at the end of his route, just a little bit overthrown.
78 degrees, slight southeast winds as we get this game started tonight. Humidity's dropped a little bit, clear skies, and we know that full moon's going to be coming up on the eastern horizon as a flag comes down from the back judge. Was he counting? I didn't notice.
No, they should have
false
reset.
False start.
He did. They reset.
So this is a snap infraction. When the judge throws the penalty right there the way he did, the center did something with the football he wasn't supposed to be doing, and that's got to be what that is. So it's a procedure call. And either, you know, there's a set of rules. He can twist it, but he can't pick it up. He did something that wasn't allowed.
Takes the ball back to midfield now at the 50. Second and 15 Streaks. Quick handoff right side, Amari, and Sterling defenders into the backfield, crossing the line of scrimmage, taking Amari down for a loss of a yard, and now third and 16.
There was a hole there, Jake. I mean, You're at an angle to see it, but it closed real quick. Those guys got in there. He had to bounce it just ever so slightly, and that was enough for them to close in on him.
And a little bit of it goes is that's kind of the, you know, it's going to be a give every time, but there is a redraw component to that. And right now with the way Tristan's hobbling around, nobody has to keep an eye on the quarterback, right? That's a give 100% all the way.
We'll wind down under 8 minutes to go in the opening quarter with the Streaks down 7-0. As snap made on third and 16. Fires across the middle, same as the completion last time and same intent to target Williams, but thrown in front of Geno, uncatchable, falls incomplete. And the Streaks do have to go into punt formation now.
Yeah, we're going to see the trainer go right to Tristan and start looking at that leg, see if we can get that thing wrapped up, because right now he is extremely immobile. And they got to – I'm not sure really what their backup plan. I know Geno – might be in the mix tonight as a possibility, so let's hope for the best here.
Kested back, and a short kick off the right side of the foot of Satiski, then takes a big Galesburg roll. It bounced at about the 35-yard line and then gets 11 yards of roll back to the 24-yard line. So that's an enormous break on not a very good kick.
Kind of a shank.
Yeah, he knew it right off his foot. I mean, I saw his body language. I heard Jake go, oh, no. And yeah,
the snap and his was body a little language. Low, I guess, and maybe that. And he didn't catch it perfectly cleanly as we have a Sterling Warrior down on the field right now, so we're going to get a little time. But, I don't know what threw that all off. And then he looked up and he saw a rush, and he just – that's not usually his form in motion when he's kicking the football.
But it turned out okay for us.
Yes, it did.
Nice bounce.
Sterling's second drive. Again, if you're just joining us, you missed out early. We weren't even 30 seconds into the game, and Sterling engineered a two-play scoring drive, a 29-yard pass play and a 44-yard touchdown run. And we were, 28 seconds into the game?
Really quick.
Yeah.
And maybe 22 seconds into the game, and it was 7-0. So this will be their second offensive possession. Our officiating crew tonight, John Clark is our referee, Jimmy Parker the umpire. Ryan Van de Woesteen, the head linesman, Ted Timbrook, the line judge, and Evan Sipes is our back judge.
Guys, I'm a little bit encouraged as I watch the training staff here work on Tristan. I was worried about a knee. It's not a knee. They're down around the ankle area. That's something you can wrap up, and it'll get actually feel a little better as long as you keep moving on it. So hopefully it's just kind of an ankle sprain right now. They're looking at it looks like a high ankle issue if it is, which can be painful, but I think he can hopefully stick around in this, which would be different than the Sterling player right now who's being carried off.
Tommy Tate
is being carried off by two of his teammates right now, and I couldn't get a good read on what they were trying to look at on Tommy, but it was lower extremity.
Yeah, I saw them working on a knee, and I felt like their determination was pretty quick.
Yeah.
They did a couple of the lateral tests on it, moving in and out, and they quickly just said, get somebody out here.
Yeah.
Tate is a linebacker, plays a little bit of wide receiver on the offensive side of the ball. Handoff on first down to the left side as Cale Ryan comes in at quarterback. J.P. Schilling was the starting quarterback on the opening drive. This time it's Ryan in as they keep it on the ground with Kested for a short gain of 3.
Noah Wright in on that tackle.
Second and 7 from the Sterling 27-yard line. We're keeping an eye on the Cardinals tonight. Down 3-0 at Pittsburgh at last check.
Oh.
Pass thrown behind the receiver at the 35-yard line, incomplete. And very quickly, third down for Sterling. Intended receiver Dylan Ottens.
Sean, I think we're going to have to do something different when they go wide twins like that. We have John Sibley, the safety, over their number 2, but he's not over their number 2. Much more in the middle of the field. Okay, now they're going to walk out with trips. They're going to walk out Nolan Carl.
And a single wide out to the left side, the short side of the field. Back to pass Ryan. Now under pressure in the backfield. Slips a tackle. On the run.
John
far
Willis.
Side. Gets bumped out of bounds. Good containment by the Silver Streaks. Good downfield defense. Couldn't find an open man to throw. And he just steps out of bounds on the far side. I think he lost a yard on the play, and that's going to bring up fourth down. So credit to the defense. They recover very well. They're actually marking the ball down all the way back at the 23. Did he step out of bounds that early?
Yeah,
I guess he did. So it's back to fourth and 11. And they'll have to punt. And the punting duties go to Justin Null for Sterling. Steps to the right. Kicks it to the right, up in the air. Streaks are going to back off. Now it takes a Galesburg bounce backwards, and Sterling downs it immediately in Golden Warrior territory at the 47-yard line. How often do we talk about flipping the field, guys? And the Silver Streaks, even though they weren't able to take one all the way downfield, they got out of their own side of the field on the opening drive, got it across midfield. Then even that bad punt, the defense rallies. Sterling doesn't get a first down, and now not a very good punt of their own, and the Streaks have great field position.
Yeah, that was a great response by us. I mean, two plays, they score. We put together a decent drive. We weren't able to put any points on the board, but we drove the ball a little bit, got a couple of first downs in there. They get the ball back, and we hold them, and they punt it back to us. So I'm really happy with the way we responded to that. Jake, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm watching the Tristan. We got Geno Williams in the ball game right now. And
okay.
So I was kind of seeing how that was all developed. We're going to go with a backup quarterback here.
And he tosses it badly, batted up in the air, and it comes right down into the hands of Aguirre, who is able to catch it before the defense collapses on top of him. So a little shaky. And speaking of shaky, Tristan's going to come out. Looking a little shaky on that leg still. So the Streaks lose 5 on the play.
He's moving better than when he came off the field.
Yeah,
Heavily wrapped.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you got a lot of tape on that. So that tape will expand a little bit. So right now he looks stiff because he can't move. And that's the idea. The idea of that tape is to, if there's going to be swelling, keep that swelling down and so he can play. So that tape will loosen up for him, and he'll hopefully get some more mobility throughout the evening.
I think there was any platitudes exchanged between the training staff down there. Oh, Tristan, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be good all right here.
Right.
Fake handoff. Tristan throws off his back foot downfield and just over the hands of the outstretched receiver for the Silver Streaks down inside the 30-yard line as Galesburg had a shot at Lewis downfield. Just thrown a little bit too high. Streaks tried the quick shot. Almost paid off. Instead, it's 3rd and 15.
Yeah, looking for Marcus Lewis. He was one-on-one out here, definitely had a guy on an island. Looked like he was going to run a fly route down the field, but he did cut it underneath, and that's where Tristan was looking for him to go. So that was a planned kind of skinny pose to keep the safety out of the play.
You know, it's good to see him come in and make that throw. I think it was a nice, strong throw. Had a little elbow grease on it and got in there, but just a little over his head.
Streaks trying to take advantage of good starting field position, but third and 15 here from their own 48-yard line. Short drop by Tristan. Throws off his back foot again with a crossing pattern. A little slant route for Eicher. He can't come up with it. And very quickly, the Streaks will give it up with a punt.
Yeah, the accuracy is just waning, man. When you can't, when your feet aren't good, when they don't feel good, when you can't get them set, and he just can't flip his hips and put anything on that front foot. We saw the one play with Gino in there, and it looked a little shaky, and it was a bad toss. And so Tristan, even hurt, is probably still our best option. It's just going to be about pain management at this point. How much can he give us?
Here comes that moonrise right over the top of the high school gymnasium over there. Nice pinkish-orangish moon for this time of year. Satiski gets a much better punt off this time downfield, but low. Now Sterling at the last instant backs away from it, and it takes a Galesburg bounce inside where it'll be down inside the 10-yard line at about the 9, maybe even the 8. He was way too close to that. If it takes a tricky football hop, I mean, he couldn't have been standing more than 2 feet away from that ball when it came down.
No, we had good coverage, too. So if that, you know, does take that tricky hop, we're going to have some guys right there on it.
But
it didn't.
It didn't.
We still had a nice bounce.
But it didn't.
Yeah, but it didn't.
And the Streaks pinned Sterling back on that punt to their own 9-yard line. Defense responded last time. Let's see if they can do it again here. Down 7-0, just past the midpoint of quarter number one. And Schilling back in at quarterback. He engineered the scoring drive on the first possession. Now back in there for their third possession. Play fake. He'll run it up to the 10. Swarmed around. He'll cross the 10, maybe to the 12 before he's pushed backward and stopped. And it'll be second and 8, maybe 7. Let's see where the spot is. Jake, you're just waiting it out, aren't you? You're not going to wander down to the other side of the field.
My own corpulence is keeping me from walking all the way down there. You know, I just want to hold off here.
Second and 7 across the middle, thrown too high, incomplete. Had a man open in the flat, but thrown too high, incomplete, and very quickly third down. Big opportunity for the Silver Streaks defense here to make a statement and put themselves in good position.
Yeah, and right now that's going to be the key, right? If we don't know what we're going to get offensively right now with some injuries and things, the defense is going to have to turn it up. And so far, they have answered the bell. Now we got four wides, and this gave us problems last time.
Two to the left, two to the right. Looking left, Schilling going long, man-to-man coverage, and batted down. Good defense. Is that Sibley over there who came across, got around his man, and just knocked it out of the air? It was not Sibley, it's Lewis.
And he picked the wrong guy, right? He had two receivers out there covered by one of our defenders, and he went to the guy that was covered, right? He had the slant route open, but luckily for us, he picked the wrong guy, and we were able to defend that pass.
And, Jake, what we're talking about for our listeners at home is we're running a cover three, so we have three guys back, and they're doing four verticals on that. So it's very difficult to go. It's four on three, so somebody's going to be open, and he picked the wrong guy. So we'll take it. Fourth down, they're punting.
Out of the end zone, stepping up. The kick is away from the two, high returnable into the air. Sibley across the 35, tackled short of the 30. A return of about 14 yards as he was able, with some momentum, to catch that. Not quite at full speed. And, boy, the Silver Streaks had really good field position last time. They got great field position now at the 31-yard line of Sterling with 5:06 to play in the opening quarter.
And see that, and that's why on that play there, I know that we did not send a rush in to try to block it. And that's why you don't, because you're going to be guaranteed good field position. The last thing you want to do is go in there, hit the punter, get a penalty, and give them a first down. Great field position.
Stays in at quarterback. Streaks go four receivers, and now a whistle. And
false start.
Yeah, we got a procedure penalty against the Silver Streaks again, where Tristan is really hobbling.
And that's kind of what Sean was talking about, the rush. Sean, I'm almost thinking it's going to take a big play, like a punt block right now, with Tristan out there kind of struggling to get this offense moving. I'm wondering if we got to take a shot, take a chance here to try to get ourselves back even in this thing.
Do you dare risk a screen as immobile as he is right now?
See, I think he can go backwards.
They'll go to Amari. He gets to the 35 after the penalty of 5, and he'll gain a yard back. So second and 14 from the Sterling 35. Under 5 minutes to play, opening quarter, 7-0 Sterling.
And to your point, I think there's a couple different kinds of screens here that they can go to that wouldn't require him to do too much movement But yeah, like you're talking like a middle screen where he's got to retreat, that might be a bit of an issue.
Well, I don't know if I'd see it right now, but I between here at second down or third down, they're going to bring the pressure again. They got to bank on the fact that he can't move and try to get a sack.
Streaks line up, same formation, play fake. Legate going it's long there. Down the middle. Eicher open, yes, caught, touchdown! Eicher got behind his defender downfield, and Tristan caught him right in the numbers. They overthrow Kale Ryan deep. Eicher runs under it. 35-yard touchdown streak.
This is where I wish I had a teleprompter, you know, like Tony Romo does, because the design of this play was beautiful. They knew they had men coverage down here. They took their inside receiver and motioned him across the field, which drew one defender, leaving Mikey one-on-one, and he's going to win the slant route every time. Just got to get the ball there, which Tristan did.
Two touchdown receptions last week. First one tonight puts the streaks on the board. Satiski's extra point ties it. 4:22 to go opening quarter. 7 apiece between the streaks and Sterling on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School football and WGIL is brought to you in part by Templeton Roofing, Galesburg and the surrounding area's oldest and most trusted residential and commercial roofing contractor. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL and WGIL.com.
Three-play scoring drive for the Silver Streaks. This time they do take advantage of the excellent field position set up by the Streaks defense, holding Sterling to a three and out, two straight possessions. They gave him good field position once. It gave him fantastic field position for that drive. And Galesburg needs to take it only 31 yards. They do so in two plays. David backed up on a five-yard penalty to start off with and a 35-yard touchdown pass, Tristan Legate, to Mikey Eicher. Tied at 7, 4:22 to go in the opening quarter. Seen a lot of action already. Both teams have already had the ball three times each, and we still have just under 4.5 minutes to play in the opening quarter. Satiski creeps up on it, kicks low, line drive, deep, running to the right side. Keston retrieves it at the 9, to the 20, good, to the 25-yard line, and the streaks stop him there.
John Sibley, first guy down, gets on around his ankles, makes a good sure tackle.
Like Joseph Morin in there as well. Good coverage by the Silver Streaks. Sterling has it at its own 25-yard line.
The last time I made a comment about driving the ball 75 yards, I won't make that comment again.
Okay. Please don't.
No, sir. Sean, I still think an adjustment's got to be made when they come out with these two wide twins out there.
Yeah, even if it's not two. There we go. We bumped out better here. You see that on the top.
Kale Ryan back in at quarterback for the fourth series. They'll run it to Kested, trying to get to the outside left. Gains a couple before he's rolled down there. Xavier Van Dyke on the tackle.
And Noah Wright is proving to be unblockable right now. He is causing a lot of havoc on the defensive line. He's a two-way guy, and right now just he is disrupting what Sterling wants to do.
Well, he has to be, because if we have to bump the outside linebacker out to cover those twins, we've got to have the defensive lineman be a stud.
Quick snap on a draw play up the middle, and Ryan runs into a black jerseyed wall at the 30 and crumples quickly.
Listen,
so he picks up four, but he went down hard.
Yeah, that's John Willis. I love watching him play.
Yeah.
He's 5'7",
he's
175.
Undersized, man.
Yeah, middle linebacker at 175. For what he lacks in size, he makes up in heart and effort. And he is so fun to watch. Yeah, he was the one who came up there, and I think someone else may have been on him, but John put the final hit on it and said, nope, you're not going any further.
He's a successful wrestler as well, so
yes,
he doesn't lack physicality.
He knows leverage.
Third and six, Sterling back to pass. Ryan rolling right. Now contained, reverses directions left. Still on the run. Van Dyke chasing him down, tackles him from behind just across the 30-yard line. Couldn't find a man open downfield. Credit the defensive coverage of the Silver Streaks, flushing Ryan out of the pocket, chasing him down, and holding him to a gain of a yard.
Van Dyke did not like losing contain on that. And he said, I'm going to come hunt you
and
down
from
behind.
And he did for a second.
Yeah, he lost it, but he made up the speed on it. Certainly closed really fast, and then he had nowhere to go.
There's something to be said about taking proper angles. Geometry is important, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not easy for a social studies teacher
to
say.
It's hard to say.
2.5 minutes to go, opening quarter. Third punt for Sterling. Streak's got some pressure on another high, very short punt. Bounces at the 50, crosses the 50 into Galesburg territory, and Sterling downs it at the 47-yard line. Again, the Streak's going to have good field position. They are definitely winning the battle of field position here. And we're tied at 7, and the Streaks will have the ball for the fourth time in this opening quarter, 2:23 to play.
And speaking of angles, if Nolan Carl gets his arms at a little bit better angle out in front and not so high up, he blocks that punt. He was an inch away from getting some hands on that. You got to take the ball off the punter's foot, not where he is, but off the punter's foot out in front.
So after an opening drive for Sterling that covered 73 yards in just two plays, the defense has absolutely become rock solid for the Streaks. And now the offense tries to take advantage of it here with another drive starting just short of midfield. Short drop by Tristan, throws near side. Mason Kimmett tripped up, stays on his feet. Tackle made at about the Sterling 46. For a good gain on first down, it'll be 2nd and 3.
Real nice timing route there. We're looking at about an 8-yard, you know. Now his hitch route was a little bit shorter than that. But he got the reception. He got about 3 yards. So that's probably about a 5-yard play, 3 yards after the catch. So, I mean, a nice timing right there, coming out of a first down there, getting the ball back. And here we are moving it, ball at 2nd and 3. So
yeah, you'll take 7 on first down no matter how you get it, every time.
Mason Kimmett, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time player of the game last week, had a big reception, but an even bigger interception defensively. 2nd and 3 Streaks here. Play fake, Tristan under pressure, and he'll take the sack back in his own territory at the 45-yard line as he pump faked and then just ate the ball. And now the Streaks are facing 3rd and 11. Fourth time in two-plus games that Tristan has been taken down for a loss.
Yeah, just not able to avoid anything. So, you know, it's on the offensive line. They have to be even better now because Tristan is not going to be able to make a play to avoid any kind of rush. I mean, that just – that puts a little more pressure on the boys up front.
Yep, any breakdown that happens in the lines would be trouble for us.
So it flips from the Sterling 46 to the Galesburg 46, and now 3rd and 11 Streaks. And how much are they just going to put the rush on every single time if they can? Under a minute to go, first quarter. Short drop by Tristan, throws it across the middle. Picked off by Kested at the 47. Crosses midfield to the 40. Taken down from behind, and a high tackle made by Cam McGuire, and that's going to add penalty yardage on to the interception return down to the Galesburg 32-yard line.
Yeah, we went to the well again. That's the third time we've tried to hit that route on that one pass play. The first time it was successful, the second time incomplete, and this time the safety was just kind of waiting for it, and he jumped the route.
And I think, too, they didn't bring as much pressure as they had when we were successful on that pass. When we had the completion, they brought all three linebackers.
Third interception of the season for Tristan Legate. Have not seen. Here comes personal foul. Face mask against the Silver Streaks. So the interception returned to the 32. So that'll take it down to the 17-yard line. Big penalties, of course, major part of the story in the opening week loss to Dunlap. First major against the Silver Streaks here tonight. So now Sterling starts off with fantastic field position after the turnover. As the large harvest moon continues to glow big and bright and orange in the east. 4-1 Pittsburgh over the Cardinals as that game moves to the 7th inning in Pittsburgh. J.P. Schilling back in at quarterback. They'll keep it on the ground, and the tackle made from behind, dragged down, a handoff to Kale Lederberger, and a short gain.
Carter Clary in there making a good tackle, and if he gets by Carter through that arm tackle, he's got a little space. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to continue to say. Lederberger, right.
I was practicing it before because I kept wanting to say Lederberger, but it's Lederberger. 2nd and 7, just outside the Streaks' 15-yard line. On the ground again, bouncing to the outside, Lettergerber to the 10, to the 5, going for the pylon. He dives, and he's out of bounds at the 2. It'll be 1st and goal after a gain of 13.
Jake, I don't know if you saw that play there. They pulled a backside guy and did a kick out.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to do is we can't turn our shoulders and give them numbers. As soon as that outside guy, I think it was a defensive end, turns and gives them numbers, their block is going to take them out. They've got to keep their shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage and try to squeeze that pulling block down.
Come to the line quickly. Schilling on a draw play up the middle and squeezes through for the touchdown as the first quarter ends. So the Silver Streaks defense helps set up the Streaks' first score, but now Sterling's defense sets up their second score and does so very quickly in the final 43 seconds of the quarter on a three-play scoring drive. And Sterling regains the lead as the first quarter comes to the end with the extra point pending.
Yeah, it's a tough spot to put a defense in, unfortunately, and they weren't able to hold tight there.
Gephardt's kick.
No good.
It's inside the left upright.
Darn.
And that's the end of the first quarter. Sterling 14, Galesburg 7 from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
This is Autumn Cantarini. The most practical thing you can do to avoid wasting your energy dollars is to have your home heating system cleaned and tuned. If you have regular maintenance, your energy bills will be lower and your system will have a lower risk of expensive repairs. The Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating $69 tune-up comes with two fantastic guarantees. We guarantee energy savings, and if you need repairs, you'll get a 10% discount. Call Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating at 342-HEAT.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as Illinois takes on Virginia. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
Tough turnover for the Silver Streak. Sets up Sterling's three-play scoring drive to end the first quarter. They only had to cover 18 yards, did so in 43 seconds. Certainly aided by the Galesburg personal foul penalty at the end of the interception, which set up Sterling inside the Galesburg red zone just to start the drive.
They flip the teams here.
Took big advantage of it.
So the quarter has changed, so we got to flip sides.
The white hat. Everyone else is good.
Yeah, got to get the white hat down. You're right.
He's got a 100-yard jog to go.
That's John Clark, as we mentioned earlier.
Working on his corpulence at this point.
All right, the Streaks responded nicely after the very fast start by the Warriors tonight. We weren't even 30 seconds into the game. They'd put two big plays together, scored quickly. Galesburg righted the ship, eventually tied the game. Now let's see how they respond. Kickoff taken at the 11. Up the far side of the field, and the return for the Silver Streaks to about the 28-yard line as we just start the second quarter. Check some scores from around the Western Big Six as we get a chance to keep an eye on things. Of course, I think the spotlight game really has to be Moline and Quincy, given the high hopes for both of those programs coming into this season. Rock Island and Alleman playing each other tonight.
Where's that Moline-Quincy being played?
I thought it was at Quincy. I had it up earlier. It is. Whoops, that's the wrong team. It is at Moline. Like I said, it's in the Quad Cities tonight. On the ground. And Amari picks up a couple on first down. He got down low. I thought maybe his knee didn't go down initially, but they'll spot him to a gain of two.
And Amari getting the bulk of the carries tonight. You know, last week we saw Cam McGuire on the shelf, didn't dress. He is dressed tonight, but not carrying the football yet in the Silver Streaks offense. Maybe still kind of working on that bone bruise. He has played tonight. We saw him in on that tackle on the interception. But right now, still Amari getting the bulk of the carries.
Of course, Richardson had a career type of game last week. 183 yards, three touchdowns in the win over Thornton. Back to pass, short drop. Legate going long, near sideline, getting under a Geno. There was contact down there at the 40-yard line of Sterling. He falls down, can't reel it in, and no flags down. So third and eight Streaks.
Yeah, short ball. Tristan's trying to compensate right now with arm strength, and he has plenty of it. But you see the wobble in the football starting out right now. And, again, that's just an issue. And you can't get your feet underneath you and have a solid base to throw from. It's a tough gig to be back there and play quarterback with that kind of hindrance.
Silver Streaks 2-for-4 on third downs already in this game, facing 3rd and 8 here just across their own 30-yard line. Not even a minute into the second quarter. Legate again going long, a wobbler downfield, and falls incomplete at the Sterling 35-yard line. And good coverage downfield by Isaiah Mendoza, who just pretty much got between, for the Silver Streaks, Marcus Lewis, just got between him and the ball. And there was no way for Marcus to get around him to get down there, even have a chance to catch it. So three quick and out again for the Silver Streaks. And now punting from their own 31-yard line. And Sterling looking to get good field position out of this now. Satiski, a low line drive kick, bounces and takes a Galesburg roll from the 43 across the 40 down to the 34-yard line where the Streaks down it. And they flip the field a little bit. Let's see if the defense can rise to the occasion here and get it back into the offense's hands quickly. They have held Sterling on a 3-and-out 3 different times tonight. But a short field and a quick strike on the opening drive, and that's what's given Sterling this 14-7 lead with 10:50 to go in the opening half.
Yeah, even that second drive was how long, Brad? I mean, it was, you say 17 seconds maybe? I forget what you said for that, but they're two scoring drives.
The second scoring drive, yeah.
They've both been very quick. It seems to be like if we're able to get our feet about us and put up a good, stop that momentum, and they're able to do some things defensively.
Yeah, the longest drive either team has had was the Streaks' opening drive when they ended up punting the ball away. And they had 10 plays on that drive. Everything else has been 3 plays or less. As Kested sweeps out to the right side, and he stretches it out for a gain of 5, maybe 6, up to the 40-yard line, 2nd and 4.
Offensively, we're going to have to find a way to get something going on the ground. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like, we haven't been very successful, and we haven't attempted very many run plays. It's been a lot through the air. We're going to have to find a way to find some ground, find some footing running the football.
2nd and 4. Kested again. Tackle made just short of the first down marker, but he'll pick up 3, and it'll be 3rd and a short 1 coming up from the Sterling 43-yard line. Warriors on top, 14-7, 10 minutes to go for the half. Kested's the one who broke off the 44-yard run on the second play of the game. Streaks have, by and large, contained him since then, but he set him up on a 3rd and 1 here.
Quarterback.
And a long run as Ryan crosses the 50. Tackle made at the Galesburg 40-yard line. So many weapons for Sterling out of the backfield. The athleticism and the variety of plays that they can run between Ryan and Schilling at quarterback and the We haven't even seen Antonio Tablante in this game. It's all been A.J. Kested up to this point, and he's a handle of himself. Now a first down from the 40 after the third down conversion. Swing it to the outside, bobbled and dropped. A little bit off the fingertips of the intended receiver, Dylan Ottens, and now a flag comes flying in right in the middle of the field well after the play had ended.
Yeah, I think we're going to get called being a little extracurricular after. I think that's going to be on the Silver Streaks. Again, the coaches talked about this, right?
Like,
it's very easy to keep your composure when you're up by 20. It's not as easy when you're down. You got to understand where you're at. This is still a close ball game. We're not out of it by any means, but we cannot afford these mistakes.
No.
This isn't helping us.
2nd personal foul penalty against the Silver Streaks, which, again, was such a big part of the story in that week one loss to Dunlap. And that's going to give Sterling, after the incomplete pass, a new set of downs at the Galesburg 25-yard line now. After the play had ended, incomplete. So now first down from the 25-yard line. Running play to the right. Streaks contain it for a very short gain, if any.
Yeah, I saw Nolan Carl in there, along with a few other Streaks, but they gave more yards than I thought.
Yeah, I sure did. Herrera picks up two. Yeah. Brandon Herrera's first carry of the game.
I thought we had a good stop there. Yeah, I thought we had a good spot or a good stop there right at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. And now timeout by the Silver Streaks with 9:04 to go in the half. Sterling on top 14-7. Let's take a timeout as well. You're listening to Galesburg High School football from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Go get them, Silver Streaks. This is Jeff Klink from Galesburg Nissan. Reminding everyone, Galesburg Nissan has the area's largest and nicest rental car fleet. An awesome detail shop, Galesburg Car Care, and we are driven to create customers for life. A free lifetime warranty with no gimmicks. Every fifth oil change is free for life. And a free loaner car for life. Galesburg Nissan, Galesburg Nissan Car Rental, Galesburg Car Care, and Galesburg Nissan Pre-Owned Auto Center all say, let's go Streaks.
Stay connected with Galesburg anywhere you go. Galesburg's local news is always online at WGIL.com.
9:04 to go, opening half at Van Dyke Field. Sterling 14, Galesburg 7. Brad Benowitz, Sean Ickey, Jake Miller bringing you Silver Streaks football for game three of the season, opener of the Western Big Six Conference. Talk about a lot of changes going on at Galesburg High School, now Galesburg Junior Senior High School, and more of those changes is part of the halftime focus in your spotlight interview coming up at the half, Sean.
Yeah, this week the spotlight's going to be on the new Galesburg Area Vocational Center director, which Adam Sini is the new director there. We're going to be talking to him about the facilities, which if people have not been out to see those facilities there at the GAVC, certainly need to be aware of what's going on there. But, yeah, talking with him about the services provided to the community in the area and what those classes are. And then, as always, we have our conversation with Principal Hawkins.
Draw big play for the quarterback. Here. Cale Ryan picks up 5, 3rd and 3 inside the Galesburg 20. Ryan again. Running it to the right side, finds a hole, skimpers through inside the 10 down to the 12-yard line where he'll move the chains.
When you can use your quarterback as an extra runner like this, it just it gives you an advantage in the blocking game because you can use your backs now as extra blockers, right? And so when your quarterback has this ability, it's just another asset that you get to use. It's another wrinkle. It's giving the Streaks fits right now.
Ryan has accounted for 28 rushing yards on this drive alone. Hands off to Kested to the right side. Bounces off a man forward to about the 5. He'll pick up 7 more, and it'll be 2nd and 3. They can get a first down inside the 2, trying to add to a 14-7 lead here with under 8 minutes to go in the opening half.
And it also provides protection for the running back on that play where he gave it up, but Nolan Carl can't crash down on the runner because he's got to check quarterback.
And whistles again as Galesburg burns another defensive timeout. And this quick play offense by Sterling has the Streaks scrambling a little bit here. Second timeout in the last three plays that the Streaks have had to call.
Yeah, that's an alignment issue. Coach Blackwell very upset about the first timeout was to discuss alignment, and something didn't get done, right? So we're going to make a substitution here. They're going to fix their alignment, hopefully, there, because they went 4 wides, if I recall, there on that alignment, and that's been giving us problems.
Cardinals scored once in the 6th, once in the top of the 7th, now trailing Pittsburgh 4-2, going into the bottom of the 7th inning in Pittsburgh.
So, Jake, you know, one of the things we've been doing with that is to the Twins' side is Geno has gotten wider.
Yeah,
to go out and play man coverage on that inside receiver. And a lot of times it's just been the single receiver on the other side. Now they came out with the 4 receivers, 2 on each side, and I think that's where our confusion came into that. So now we're going to line up man coverage again.
Moline leads Quincy 7-3 at the end of the first quarter.
Another whistle. Stops this play.
Uh-huh.
Did you see a flag?
No.
I didn't either.
I was looking for one also.
I don't think the ref blew the play live. Did he? Coming in out of the timeout.
Well, then the official would still be standing over the ball like he is now.
Well, moved the ball.
Well, And 1 second went off the clock, so technically something happened that counts for the record. But it's still 2nd and 5 from the Galesburg 5. The shotgun snap. Running behind his quarterback, now cuts to the inside. The quarterback, Ryan, gets to the goal line and scores. And Sterling takes a 20-7 lead with 7:43 to play here in the first half.
Looks like we have somebody down.
And now whistles again, yeah. Somebody for the Streaks down in the end zone far side.
So it's like John Wilt. No, it's not John.
Just as I was about to see his number, he turned his back and sat down the other direction. So that'll stop play to go out and check him out after the Sterling touchdown. So again, penalties part of the story. Gelsberg, the 15-yard personal foul penalty on the fourth play of the drive that ends up going 9 plays and 66 yards. And the quarterback, Ryan, carrying the ball for the fourth time on the drive, takes the last 5 yards for the touchdown, his first of the night.
That was Nick Curtis there on the ground, but he is walking off under his own power. I think he's going to be okay.
Now ready for the extra point. Gebhardt, the freshman, in. And the Silver Streaks down 2 touchdowns now. And needing to get the offense clicking here. Try to get something going, get some momentum back before halftime. The extra point is good. It's 21-7 Sterling, 7:43 to play in the half on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Do you promise to have and to hold until death do you part?
No, but I, Dane Kuna, do promise 1 year of free oil changes with purchase of any vehicle.
Oh, wow, I do.
Ford of Galesburg is ready to commit to you with the Ford Promise. Stop by West Main Street in Galesburg. Test drive the car, truck, or SUV that catches your eye and drive off the lot knowing you have free oil changes for the next year. Plus free maintenance inspections and a price match guarantee on tires.
Ford of Galesburg, your purchase is better. Backed by our promise.
The latest headlines and hot topics with fun, entertaining conversations. The Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Weekdays 11 to 2 on WGIL.
9-play scoring drive for the Quincy, or for the Quincy. I'm looking at Twitter trying to check on score, so that's in my brain. 9-play scoring drive for Sterling. 66 yards, 3 minutes, 7 seconds off the clock. And the quarterback, Cale Ryan, with a 5-yard touchdown run. Trying to check on the Rock Island Alamans score. Looks like it's the Rocks up 27-6 just before halftime in that game. With the Rocks playing Alamans. Streaks return the kickoff to the 31. And again, as we mentioned a moment ago, Quincy leading Moline 7-3 at the end of one quarter in that game. Here, Sterling on top 21-7, Streaks ball. Starting this drive from their own 31-yard line, 7:39 to go before halftime.
This drive's going to be a big indicator right here. I think that, you know, we have to move it a little bit here, chew up some of that clock. Hopefully we can get it down and put it in the end zone.
And the Streaks have the ball to start the second half, too.
Yeah, but if we go 3 and out here and then, you know, give the ball back to Sterling, there's a concern of they've moved the ball on us and they might continue to do so. And giving up another score for halftime would not be good. So this is a big series here for us.
Legate stays in at quarterback. Short drop, pump fakes, tosses it across the middle, deflected, and then falls incomplete. With a Sterling middle linebacker diving forward, trying for the pick. Second and 10 Streaks after the incompletion. Tristan tonight is 4 for 13. He does have the 35-yard touchdown pass to Mikey Eicher. But it's been, as we've talked about, hard for him to find his footing and put much juice on the ball tonight.
Yeah, a lot of his pass attempts are deep shots down the field. Those are lower percentage pass attempts anyway. So, I mean, if you're going to keep it in the air like this, we better find quick pitch and catches, you know, hit those hitches, hit the quick slants, try to get him back in some rhythm.
Second and 10. Man in motion is Richardson, trying to bounce to the outside. Here comes the pursuit in the backfield. They get a hand on him, pop the ball free, and Sterling falls on it back inside the 20-yard line. And the worst-case scenario for the Silver Streaks, the thing they could least afford to do was turn it over. And for the second time tonight, they do. And now the officials conferencing up.
I felt like he was down myself.
And is that what they're saying? That's what they're going to talk it over, I think. So they're saying the knee was down?
Yeah.
It's called a timeout. I'm not sure. So something's in discussion, right? There's something in the works.
They put the ball down at the 26-yard line. That might be about where Amari would have been taken down for a loss of 5.
I didn't know. Was there a possible, targeting call? I'm not sure what.
Did the beanbag ever come out after the Well, there were looks like a turnover.
He's picking it up.
There's a beanbag on the ground.
Okay. Now the chain gang's coming back. They were all posted up and ready to go first and 10 Sterling's direction. But now they're coming back.
And it's our offense on the field.
So it's going to go as a loss of five. Now they have to get the chain gang in the right spot. Chain gang needs to keep moving, but the down marker is back at the 26.
So the problem is like, where do they reset? Okay, because it should be third down and like 8 or 9 maybe.
Brad, do you have that?
Well, the drive started at the 31. So it was an incomplete pass.
Okay, and then a loss of looks like 2.
I thought it was a loss of about 5. If it's at the 26, there we go. Now they're moving the chain gang forward. Well, maybe too far. Should be at the 31.
Looks like they're getting there.
There they go.
Yep.
So Amari lost 5. It is not a fumble. So it'll be 3rd and 15.
So the only thing that they could have called there is that forward progress was stopped. And then the fumble comes after. That's got to be it, because I didn't think that he was down.
You didn't think he was down?
Uh-uh. But forward progress certainly could have been stopped.
Yep. So 3rd and 15 Streaks. 2 for 5 on third downs tonight. Back to pass off his back foot, and Tristan threw it to a lineman who wasn't looking for it. And I think Cam McGuire probably would have been the intended receiver.
Yes.
But he wasn't in the right spot, and the Streaks give it up. Have to punt it away.
And that's a screenplay, like you talked about before, one that takes a little time. The quarterback has to buy that time by retreating, and that's just not something that's in the cards right now.
Yeah, he wasn't able to retreat quickly enough, because when he dumped the ball off, Cam wasn't even out there yet to be in position.
Hadn't turned his head around.
Yeah. Nope. Sterling anticipating good field position. Flags fly as a streak snap into Satiski's hands for the punt, and it will be a false start.
False start.
Things kind of starting to break apart here, fellas, again, the coaching staff's got to get these guys into the halftime, hopefully with not any more damage done, get them regrouped, but there's still 7 minutes left, and Sterling has shown the ability to drive the length of the field at plenty of time to put another one up, so kind of dire straits right now for Galesburg.
And I think we've only ran off about 20 seconds.
On that possession?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much it. Downfield, catch made by Kestedy. Bounces off one defender, avoids an ankle tackle, now spins through another one, staggers forward across the Galesburg 40, close to the 35-yard line. Streaks had 3 shots at him. First 2 missed, and the third one knocked him off balance, but he was still able to stay on his feet for a pickup of 6, maybe 7 more on the return. And Sterling has great field position and a 2-touchdown lead with more than 7 minutes to play in the half. They'll have it at the Galesburg 37-yard line.
Ooh, we have a personal foul.
Oh.
Targeting.
Against Sterling.
On Sterling. So you don't normally see the targeting on the offensive side of things, but Sterling being the return team, apparently on a block, went a little high on somebody's head.
Don't know. I never saw the flag.
I didn't either.
I did. I saw the flag. I just thought it was going to be the standard, hold or block in the back.
So it backs Sterling up into their own territory to the 47-yard line. Let's see if the defense can rally and take advantage of this here now. Streaks down 2 touchdowns, Sterling ball near midfield. Schilling back in at quarterback, pass across the middle of the field, complete, and the stop made just at the Galesburg 35-yard line, right into the numbers of Isaiah Mendoza for a first down. And a good strong tackle made in the secondary, but they still pick up 16.
Yeah, John Sibley was a step late on that. I mean, one more second, he's in there sooner, he's able to break that up.
Quick pass to the outside, pass complete to Dylan Ottens. They've targeted him a couple times. This is his first reception. He's got another first down inside the 20 where he's pushed out of bounds. And they'll move the chains again, and he coming off. Points back to the Galesburg sideline. They've got all the momentum going right now, leading by 2 touchdowns, looking for more inside the Galesburg red zone.
John Sibley with another strong tackle. The problem is when your free safety is making strong tackles, that means the offense is gaining yards.
And we're not getting lined up. We're late here.
Back-to-back pass completions of 16 and 18 yards, and a good stop on the running back, handoff to Lettergerber, and the Streaks stuff him for a loss. They were ready for that one.
Yeah, Noah Wright, a little slant there. I don't know if it was on his own or if they had a called slant, but he was pretty much unblocked again. And we haven't called his name out for a little while, but on that one, it was, again, kind of the way he was at the beginning of the game, causing lots of havoc up there for the offensive line.
Yeah, I don't know if his man pulled and he was able to get in on the heels and get in there. I don't know, but it'd be a nice play.
Up the middle, Kested, and avoids his man, sprinting to the right side and goes in untouched for a 22-yard touchdown run, his second of the night. And Sterling now starting to run away with it with still over a half of the time left on the second quarter clock. Now up 27-7.
You know, the unfortunate thing is this game's closer than what the score shows.
Yeah.
The fact that we have Legate, who can't move well at quarterback, has really slowed our offense down to the point where we're behind in points and we're trying to catch up and throw the ball more, and he's not able to throw it. And we have short possessions and three and outs, and they take 20 seconds if we give the ball back to him. So that's why we're here with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, down 28-7.
Four-play scoring drive covers 53 yards, and the extra point makes it 28-7 Sterling. 6:11 to play in the first half from Van Dyke Field on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, connecting you to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Nick Isher from WGIL. Independent readers in grades 4 to 6 are invited to a monthly club the third Thursday of each month at the Galesburg Public Library. The first meeting is this Thursday at 4 p.m. Registration is required and a limited number of books are available for checkout. Find out how to sign up your young reader on the community events page at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Four-play scoring drive. Sterling didn't even take a minute off the clock. Just 56 seconds, and that was despite a 15-yard penalty that negated what would have been starting fairly deep in Galesburg territory, moving them back across midfield into their own territory. And they still took even less than a minute off the clock to cover 53 yards. Short kick at the 17-yard line, run back across the 30 to about the 33, where the stop is made. And the Streaks will start there after the run back by Marcus Lewis. Now, how big is this drive here? I don't think we can emphasize how big this possession is for the Streaks, down three touchdowns with Sterling having all the momentum right now, and how crucial it would be for the Streaks to put together a drive, take a big chunk of time off the clock, and have the ball to start the second half, try to keep that momentum going. That's the big picture, perfect scenario here. Let's see if the Streaks can put something together. With the gate staying in on a short drop, throwing long down the middle. Kimmett trying to get under it and can't catch up to it at the Sterling 33-yard line, incomplete. Man-to-man coverage there. Second down.
Now, first down pass play, you know, it's when it's incomplete, now you're behind the sticks, right, with only basically two plays to try to get 10 yards. And unfortunately, all the first down pass plays we've had in the last four or five drives have not been completed. So then that kind of forces your hand in second down to try another shot play. And then when that doesn't work, and that's what we've seen, the snowball is rolling, and it's rolling in the wrong direction right now for the Streaks offense.
Even with the leg injury, Legate completed four of his first nine passes, but since the interception, six straight incompletions. Streaks have passed the ball 15 times. They've run the ball just nine tonight. Second and 10, Sterling showing blitz. Steps up in the pocket, fires one across the middle, and underthrows Mikey Eicher on a slant across the middle of the field. He was open, and the ball had a chance. Mikey just couldn't get underneath it to come in with a reception, which would have been a first down. Now third and 10. The Streaks desperate for a third down conversion here. After starting the game pretty well, two of their first three, they've missed their last three third down conversions, and most of them have been third and long, as this one is here at third and 10. And they have taken only 11 seconds off the clock. So they need a big conversion here, not only to keep the possession, but to take some time off. Out of the gun. Legate off his back foot. Complete to Amari. 40. He's got the first down. 45. Crossing to the far side of the field. Stopped just short of the 50. And the Streaks do get that much, much needed third down conversion.
Mm.
And now flags. We got a player down for Sterling down to the backfield. Is that Kested, I think?
No. 52.
Christian Beasley, one of the defensive linemen, hops up and gets off the field under his own power fairly quickly. Wow, what a huge conversion for
much
the Streaks.
Needed. Yeah, much needed first down there.
Goes as a gain of 14 to the 47-yard line. First reception of the game for Amari Richardson. First down Streaks from their own 47. 5:49 to go in the first half. Streaks down 28-7. Richardson goes in motion. Fake counter. Handoff. They go the other direction to Aguirre, trying to slip out of an ankle tackle. Does, but the rest of the coverage comes in, stops him for a loss of 2 at the 45.
I like the play call. I mean,
we
pull that off of the jet sweep action, and we give it back. We ran a couple times very successfully last week. But Jake and I know one of the things that kills counter is penetration, and they were in the backfield in that. And so the ball was handed off to Cam, and no sooner did he get the ball, he was guys around his feet, and he couldn't go anywhere.
It's a different level of discipline on the Sterling defense than it was last week. And plus, you know, misdirection in the run game works better when you've run the ball a little bit. And that's not something that that Sterling's had to see. They haven't had to respect the jet sweep, so they kind of stuck home on the counter.
Second and 12. Man open across the middle. Kimmett with a high catch. Tackle made across the Sterling 40 down to the 35-yard line. Up in the air. Kimmett caught that up at his shoulder pads. And behind him just a little bit with his body turned backward. But he reeled it in, held on to it, and moves the chains for the Streaks to the Warrior 35.
And Jake, I don't know if you saw, but I thought as though if he didn't make that catch, because he had to twist a little bit for it, the defender was right there.
Yeah, it was. The defender was in a good position, so it was, yeah, absolutely a good thing Mason in many ways made that catch.
Yes.
Gain of 20 in the pocket, good protection, and thrown a little bit high for Amari. There was double coverage there. Even if Amari makes that, catches that one, it's not going to be much of a gain. Legate over 100 yards passing now on that 20-yard reception, 101 yards, but again, just six completions in 19 attempts. Second and 10 from the Sterling 35. Clock stop, 4:32 to go. With the Streaks down, three touchdowns, 28-7. Freshman-sophomore team won big tonight, 34-7 over Sterling. Still 4-2 Pittsburgh over the Cardinals. That game moves to the eighth inning. Legate to the far side. Caught and then dropped by Eicher. Open at the 35. Right? Had to lean down for it a little bit. Open at the 30, rather. There were footsteps behind him, and that might have been why he didn't, feeling the pressure, wasn't able to bring it in.
And trying to make an athletic move before the ball was all the way secured.
Yep, I just hear the voice in the back of my head, my dad saying, you can't do anything without the ball. So you got to make sure you get that catch. Even though you hear the footsteps, you got to secure the ball.
Now third and 10. Geneseo with a field goal. 19 seconds to go first half in that game. They lead United Township 24-6. Streaks 2-for-7 on third downs tonight. Sorry, 3-for-7. Facing third and 10 here. Down three touchdowns, under 4.5 minutes to play second quarter. Back to pass. Good protection. Tries to dump it off to Richardson. Incomplete. And again, Amari well covered at the line of scrimmage. That's fourth and 10.
How many pass attempts is that now?
20, isn't it?
Yep. 21, actually.
Okay.
Ten rushing attempts. Streaks will go for it on fourth down. Play fake to Amari. The rush is on, and Tristan goes down back at the 45-yard line. The rush came in from his left, Mason Emmon, out of the linebacker spot. And Tristan never had a chance.
Yeah, so one of the things they've done when we brought that motion across the formation is they've gone in man coverage and stayed with him. This time, when that man went in motion, that freed up that guy that was supposed to had been going with him. He blitzed.
So the offense is being called back out.
Yeah.
Is there a flag on the...
I'm looking for a flag, too, and I don't see one, but the officials have conferenced up there.
So you're going to get a face mask. Okay.
Wow.
That would have been on the hit on the gate, maybe?
Had to have been. Tristan popped up, and he was trying to get, desperately trying to get the sideline's attention, waving everybody back out onto the field.
So it's of the, what, the five-yard variety? Is that a thing? Because this isn't a personal foul.
Yeah,
it's not an automatic first down.
Yeah, kind of like the equivalent of you protect a quarterback, and maybe a hand came through and hit his helmet or something
right.
After the release.
And now Sterling at a call timeout.
Yep.
So it'll be 4th and 13. So it's not a new set of downs. It's 4th and 13 from the 38-yard line, and the Warriors use their first timeout with 4:04 to play here in the first half. Again, we'll find out more about the vocational program at Galesburg High School, Galesburg Junior Senior High School, coming up at halftime. Sean?
Yeah, the director, Mr. Adam Sini, actually has a history in football. He played high school ball. And he went to Olivet Nazarene as a player. He's a two-year player there. After he graduated college, he was actually coaching football down in Southern Illinois before he got into administration. So he was a person that knows a little bit about the game and was around it. So, so he's going to give the insight to the classes and what we offer for the courses for our area students that come over to visit the vocational center.
Cardinals do not score in the top of the eighth, still trailing at Pittsburgh 4-2. Need another five-run rally in the ninth inning, I guess. 4th and 13 streaks. Galesburg 2-for-4 on fourth down attempts. Tristan going long. Mikey breaks free. Caught! Touchdown! He had to hold up for it, but he broke free of his defender inside the five. And the ball came down as he waited for it into the numbers with a man on his back who caught up to him. And Mikey concentrated, reeled it in, and finished it off for the touchdown.
The Warriors are that confident in their man coverage that they are just sticking in it. Are you seeing that too, Jake?
Yeah, I don't know why they are. I mean, it's 100% pass offense.
Yeah.
I put two safeties deep and just like, you know, it's you're right. They're doing what they're doing. We're doing what we're doing. And we have an athlete out there in Mikey that if Tristan can get him the ball, he's always a threat to do what he just did. And right now that's kind of offensively the strategy, right? We're going to take shots and try to get back in, and here it worked out.
Yeah, we'll put our athletes against yours.
Mikey Eicher has two receptions tonight, and they're both touchdowns. 35 yards, that one for 38. His fourth of the season, and with 3:57 to go in the half, the streaks now trail 28-14, and what a fourth down conversion for the Silver Streaks.
Yeah, and what's important right now is we've cut the score in half, and now we have to come out defensively and prevent them from getting a score before we're in halftime. We know we're getting the ball, and
yeah.
So we got to get a stop here.
If you get a stop and you get the ball, I mean, I just fourth and forever. I guess it was fourth and long. I don't know why they're still playing with zero safety help in the back and letting their receivers run with one of the faster athletes in the Big Six. It baffles me, but I'm glad they did it. And hopefully our defense can take that little shot in the arm and come out and hold them here, and we get the ball coming back, and it's a new day.
You know, they had success in what I would call would be a robber coverage where that free safety kind of sits in the middle. And he's been there in a couple of plays for that crossing route. One of them he intercepted, and that is Kested. And so he was there to break up another one. So I think that he's probably sitting there looking for that crossing route while we were able to throw over the top of him. Certainly a read that Legate can make.
Give Tristan credit, too,
because
as much as he's had a hard time throwing the ball, that was beautifully thrown.
Just gutting it out there.
Yep.
I mean, he's nowhere near 50% mobility.
Streaks line drive, kick, far side of the field, taken at the 15-yard line. A patient return. Now trying to bounce to the outside, but Kested is surrounded as he crosses the 25. The pile is still going, and he's still pushing it. And finally comes to a stop, working his way up to the 30-yard line, despite nearly every special teams player out on the field in that spot.
Except for Sam.
The kicker, yeah. You know, that was the old rugby scrum right there.
You got it. All right, Sterling has two timeouts remaining, 3:48 to go in the half, leading 28-14, and they'll start this drive from their own 30-yard line. The Streaks defense, at least those who don't play both sides of the ball, had a chance to catch their breath a little bit, and let's see if they can come up with a big stop here. They had three straight three and outs on Sterling early in the game. How big would it be to get one here? Play fake, up the middle. Ryan, back in at quarterback, dragged down and pulled backward by Xavier Van Dyke, but he still picks up eight on first down. Ryan engineered the last scoring drive. It's the first time we've seen Sterling keep a quarterback in for back-to-back offensive possessions. And why not after he carried the ball four times on Sterling's previous drive? Gain of eight.
We're off sides down here.
From the 30, and there's the flag from the 38.
Geno lined up in the man coverage, that number two receiver, which we've talked about. What they're doing is they're trying to widen out those two receivers to make us extend or expand our defense. So Geno goes out there to line up in man coverage on him. Like a bump and run. He's in the guy's face, but he didn't pay attention to where the line of scrimmage was. He was in the guy's face, but he was on the wrong side of the ball.
You know, I count a defensive back being lined up in the neutral zone as kind of the same level as a receiver jumping off sides. There's just no use for it.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's no reason he doesn't take another step back just to be right and safe. He's not like jamming him at the line.
Sixth penalty on the Streaks. First down and a good coverage in the backfield. As Lettergerber never could get anything going. Sorry, that's not Lettergerber. That's Braden Herrera. Couldn't get anything going. Loss of a yard, second and 11.
You know, Sterling kind of, they've been no huddle this whole time, but it's not like a, you know, the first series, it was a quick no huddle. They're more deliberate now. Time is becoming a factor for them.
Second and 11 from their own 42. Low snap, scooped up by Ryan across the middle, incomplete. May have thrown the timing of that play off just enough, and Mendoza maybe had a step on Geno Williams, but it was ahead of him on the pass. Third down.
Yeah, it's the quarterback has to get his eyes down to the ground to catch the snap and then get back up, find the receiver. It absolutely throws everything off.
And Jake, I watched that. Geno is jamming off the line. It's a man coverage, like a bump and run.
Big third down for the Streaks defense here. Sterling 2 for 5 on third downs tonight. Straight drop. Ryan steps left. Under pressure, steps up of the pocket, rolling left, little bit of room to run. Tackled just across the 50-yard line, and the Streaks stop him a yard and a half short of the first down. They gave up some, but not quite enough, and let's see if Sterling keeps the offense out there on fourth and short with the clock rolling toward the two-minute mark of the first half.
Get some nice pressure that we put in there.
We're going to get a stoppage here. Well, no, there was an official down. The trainer was out on the field for the official. He's up and moving. So they are going to keep things running.
Okay.
Ball sitting at the Gelsberg 48-yard line, a yard or less short of the first down marker. And Sterling eyeballing the sideline. Looks for all intents and purposes like they're going to go for it, and why not here? Leading two touchdowns with a minute 40 and rolling here in the first half. Fourth and one. Let's go, Streaks defense.
Ryan's going to keep the ball
out
here.
Of the gun. He scoops it up off the ground again on a short snap, wrapped up and pulled backward, but he crossed the first down marker just enough before Xavier Van Dyke could wrap him up and pull him backward. So they do move the chains on fourth down, and it'll be first down at the Gelsberg 46.
That ball spotted. Let's go. Behind the clock.
Sterling with two timeouts left.
Correct.
Run the clock. There we go.
Yeah.
Minute 20 to go, leading by two touchdowns. Out of the gun with a single setback and four wides. Another low snap. Fires it across the middle, deflected, and the deflection ends up leading the pass behind Lettergerber where he can't haul it in. Incomplete, stops the clock at a minute 14 to go.
That was Mason Kimmett there, wasn't it, Jake?
Yeah, Mason Kimmett playing in the backer position right now. And gets into a great drop and gets up there and almost gets his hands. We saw him make an interception last week about the same thing.
That was a big one. Helped earn him Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game last week. If he wants to pick off another one here, we'd consider him for a second week in a row.
He can have it again.
Trips wide to the right. Single set back to the short side of the field. They'll go on the ground to Kestet. In man coverage, gets to the 40 and out of bounds. Tackle made there by Mikey Eicher. Stops the clock with a minute nine to go. They'll credit Kested for a gain of, well, they'll put him at the 41-yard line, a gain of five. It'll be third and five.
Starting to see the strategy a little bit here for Sterling. If we can get this specific quarterback throwing the football, I think the Streaks have an advantage. But what they're doing is they're spreading us out, and they still are finding some success running the ball as we're moving linebackers out, defensive ends out to cover all these receivers. A completely different strategy from what we've seen Sterling do in the past.
Yeah, all of the pass completions are from J.P. Schilling.
Right.
Ryan doesn't have one yet. On the ground again. Left side, bouncing out of a tackle. Kested, first down and more. Pushing his way backwards inside the Galesburg 30, close to the 25-yard line. Minute one to go in the half. They'll spot him at the 26 for a gain of 15.
They're not changing their offensive calls. They're changing the formation.
Right.
That's what they're doing, is they're moving us around and playing some number games, trying to take advantage of what and we heard in the pregame from their coach, because we stick to the basics. So really what they're doing is they're running what Sterling's going to run, and they're just trying to outflank us positionally with the
still
formation.
Two timeouts remaining. They'll pass. Yeah. There's his first completion. Big hit. Tackle made on the Mendoza completion, but he hangs on to the ball, and a first down at the 11.
That's the seam route that we've seen. When we don't, it's to the side where we don't bring the man over for the bump and run for that man coverage. They're able to hit that seam route because we're over the top with a free safety, and they're going to hit him hot real quick at about 8 yards, and the free safety can't get there. In this case, Mikey Eicher, our corner, had to come over and put the hit on him. So that, you know, formationally, what they're doing is they're spreading us out and finding the places where we're giving them the places where they can hit it. And we saw that in the first play from scrimmage, and it came back to it again right here.
Mendoza slow to get up after his third completion. Heads off the field on his own power. Now the clock rolling with 40 seconds and counting. Sterling scrambling to get back into position with the ball at the Galesburg 11. Down to 30 seconds to go.
I think I'd have used a timeout there if I was Sterling.
They get the snap away at 27. And the ball on the ground.
Should be up.
False start.
False start.
They've had some low snaps on this drive that Ryan has had to scoop off the ground a couple of times, so that stops the clock with 25 seconds to go. Sterling's third penalty of the night backs him up to the 16.
And our even front usually does not cover the center, but I just wonder if, you know, there's been enough times where Trayson's hit that center enough that it's causing some of those bad snaps.
Now the clock rolls, 20 seconds to go.
He's right on him.
Better snap. Ryan running right, cuts back to the middle. Tackle made at the 10. And now Sterling uses a timeout with 9.7 seconds showing on the clock. One timeout remaining. The 5-yard penalty yardage made up. Wow, they took that all the way to the 4?
It was a heck of a run. If I'm Galesburg here, I just sell out on the run for the next couple plays, much like we saw them, do it in their goal line stand there at the end of the half of the Dunlap game. Dare Sterling to find a way through the air to get the score.
Well, I did not see the end of that play. I thought he was down closer to the 10, like maybe at the 8 or something. So he picks up 12. Second and about 3 from the Galesburg 4-yard line with 9.7 seconds remaining in the half. Sterling leading by 2 touchdowns and 1 timeout remaining. Out of the gun.
That's a penalty.
And now a flag.
Yeah, that's a 5-yard penalty.
What'd you see?
The right tackle had his hand down when the play was blowed in for play. He heard the whistle, and it confused him, and he took his hand up, stood up, and then went back down. You can't do that.
So that's a procedure. Yeah, that's
a huge procedure.
Takes it back to the 9 now. Second penalty against Sterling in the last 3 attempted snaps. So now 2nd and 8, 9.7 seconds to play in the half. Streaks defense trying to hang in there, down 2 touchdowns. Draw play. Ryan behind his blockers. Bounces, spins from the outside. Runs over a man at the pylon for the touchdown. The Streaks had him contained at about the five, but he bounced and spun around out of it to the left side, and he scores with 3 seconds to play in the half. Sterling with two third down conversions on the drive and a fourth down conversion.
You know, Jake, earlier we were talking about our counter that we try to run and the discipline that they had. For whatever reason, where was our contain? Where was our end? Who was doing it? Just like they put their head down and was trying to crash in, and he spun out and got the edge and was able to score a touchdown.
Snap is good. Kick is good. 35-14 Sterling. So Galesburg got a much-needed touchdown on a monstrous fourth-down conversion pass play from Tristan Legate to Mikey Eicher to get the lead to 28-14. But the defense couldn't stop Sterling, a 70-yard scoring drive that takes 3 minutes and 45 seconds off the clock. And with 3 seconds remaining before the half, the Streaks are back down 3 touchdowns. An 11-play scoring drive. And Sterling had one timeout remaining, too. So they, if the run wasn't successful, then they certainly could have gone for a field goal. Would have been well within the range. I mean, it basically would have been the range of an extra point by the time. But that's not what happened. They got it in with 3 seconds to go. And the best the Streaks can hope for now is a kickoff return to get the points right back. But Sterling's going to be as protective as possible on this kick to do everything they can not to give the Streaks any chance to run one back.
Yeah, they've covered up the their kickoffs very well all game, but this will be a squib. Probably what he's going to do, he's going to pick out the biggest guy he can see on the front line. We're going to kick it hard on the ground at that guy, and that's usually how this thing goes.
Mm-hmm. And if you heard our pregame interview with head coach John Schlemmer, something he talked about very specifically. In this league, the number of times he said, we've given up a kickoff return for a touchdown. He said in all the years coaching before they came into this league, he said that's not something they saw. So he comes into this game having acknowledged the threat that he knows it can be against Western Big Six Conference schools. And they kick downfield, and the Streaks will scoop it up at the 13-yard line. This is Lewis trying to run to the outside, and he's chased down from behind at the 20-yard line. He was just trying to find an angle, trying to find a spot to sprint upfield, and it just never opened up. As Jake said, the coverage has been good, and the Streaks go to the locker room down 35-14. Our spotlight interview, what's good at Galesburg Junior Senior High School coming up as we learn about the vocational program and hear from the Streaks High School principal, Tom Hawkins, when we come back here to Van Dyke Field. We'll get a word from the coaching staff. We'll go over the first half statistics as well. With the Streaks down 35-14 at halftime on WGIL and WGIL.com.
GHS football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Tom Irons at Accounting Systems on Simmons Street in downtown Galesburg, by Arby's on North Henderson Street in Galesburg. They'll hang the big hat up on the sign so you can see it. And by the UPS store on the corner of Main and Seminary in beautiful downtown Galesburg.
Standing at the end of the driveway, surveying the cracks, you imagine how much nicer your house would look with a new concrete driveway. For any and all jobs involving concrete, consult the experts at Courtright Construction of Oneida. The right choice for your next concrete project.
When they walk in the door here and they go, oh, I remember our kids went to school together, and it's so nice to see a familiar face to help me with this. So those relationships go all through the community.
Todd Ettinger co-owns Hinchliffe Pearson West Funeral Home with Alan Palmer and Carrie Walters. They're your neighbors and the familiar faces you need when it's time to say goodbye.
Strong community is so very important for all of us.
Hinchliffe Pearson West in Galesburg and Abingdon.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook State Farm. Providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Mostly clear tonight, over that low of 59. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 83. Increasing clouds tomorrow night with a chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, a low of 58. Sunday, showers likely through early afternoon, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 67. It's 68 at WGIL.
WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Ford of Galesburg Halftime Report. Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
Welcome to the Halftime Show. I'm Sean Hickey with this week's segment of What's Good at Galesburg Junior Senior High School. As we enter into the third week of the season, we will discuss school affairs with Principal Hawkins, and we have a spotlight on our new director of Galesburg Area Vocational Center. With us tonight, we have Mr. Adam Saney. Mr. Saney, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
No problem. So you're new to the district here, and if you could, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, where you came from, and really your journey to this position.
Sure, absolutely. So I graduated from Escuta High School in Southern Illinois. From there, I went on to Olivet Nazarene University to study physical education. I also played football there for a couple years. And after graduating, I went back to Mascoutah as an aide, as a paraprofessional for 2 years. And then I spent a year out of education, and then I got my first teaching job at Palestine High School, which is in the southeastern portion of the state. Taught PE and health, and I was the head football coach and the head boys track coach. I was there for 5 years, and after that I went to Lawrenceville High School and the junior high in Lawrenceville, which is just south of Palestine. I was a PE and health teacher there for 2 years, and then I got into administration. I was an elementary assistant principal for the final 3 years there. Prior to that, I went back to school. I got my master's in educational leadership at Eastern Illinois. And then after Lawrenceville, I made my way up to Western Illinois and was the principal at Rova Junior Senior High School for 4 years. And now I'm here as the JVC director.
Well, we're glad to have you. And listening to your background a little bit also alludes to football. So being out here on a Friday night really is nothing new to you.
No, not at all. In fact, when I got to Rova 4 years ago, it was the first time, I told my wife, it was the first time since the fall of 97 that I had not been around football, either as a coach or a player. So, no, this is kind of my happy place on a Friday night at a football game.
Yeah, and the atmosphere itself is just something that you just can't beat anywhere else. So we'll keep going here. And so looking at the title of the Galesburg Area Vocational Center, it kind of speaks for itself. But when we talk about the area, what other districts are serviced by the GAVC?
Yeah, sure. So, of course, we serve our GHS kids, our Galesburg kids. But the area encompasses basically all ROE 33 schools. So in addition to Galesburg, Knoxville, Abingdon, Avon, Rova, Williamsfield, Monmouth, Roseville, Monmouth United, and West Central all encompass are all districts that we serve.
So as being your first year here, you've come into a brand new facility. It looks great and certainly something that's going to be a draw. We're not bringing more people in, but it's going to benefit the area, really as we look at this itself. So what are your thoughts so far about the GAVC, what it has to offer with its current presentation?
Yeah, so in my mind, our facilities are second to none. I mean, we've got excellent staff over there. We've got an excellent facility. Enrollment-wise, we've really shot up this year. We're at 395 compared to, I believe, about 235 that we had last year. So, which is awesome. A lot of our programs are full. So our facilities are great, and we're just going to continue to market and recruit and hopefully continue to build our enrollment in our programs.
And so the enrollment's up. You have more kids coming in. Let's talk a little bit about the classes that they're taking. What do you guys offer there for GABC?
Yeah, so we've got our Health Oc program, which is pretty popular. We've got Automotive 1 and 2. We've got Machining 1 and 2, Electrical Program, Building Trades, Fire Science, Culinary Occupations, Ed Pathways, Early Childhood, Emerging Tech. We've got drones, we've got AR/VR, we've got AP Computer Science, we've got welding, we've got a nutrition course, we've got a pharmacology and medical terminology course. So we offer those courses, but then we offer precision exams in each course or industry certs in each course, and we're currently working on that and building that. But also some of those courses are dual credit courses, ones we offer through Sandberg are dual credit, and our fire science is an articulated credit. So some great opportunities for our area kids.
That sounds good. So what is the draw? What is your motto that you guys have? So over there, I mean, you work on your own, but yet you're still connected to the high school. Mm-hmm. But you still, as a way of communicating with the area schools, what do you guys have for your motto? Like, what is your statement that you have for people that come in there?
Yeah, so building our community by aligning talent and education with industry and local business partners. So as a vocational center, our goal, you know, we kind of look at how we can best prepare our kids for jobs in the vocational or career tech field. You know, there's a common misnomer that you either go to school or you go vocational, and that's not always true. But we're working with our community, with our business partners, and with our students in local schools. And what are those careers, and how do we best prepare our kids for those? And that's really, from my standpoint, from the standpoint of our staff, we want to be able to provide our kids with hands-on, opportunities there that are going to prepare them for entry-level positions in their career field.
Do you have any upcoming events that you want to share with the public?
Absolutely. So this Wednesday, we will be taking a group of 76 students, staff, and community members to the International Manufacturing Technology Show in Chicago. We've had several sponsors step up and provide various things, whether it be the busing or T-shirts or meals. So I want to thank Pegasus, Jupiter, KCAP, Delabar Heat and Control, and Derby Manufacturing for their generous donations to that. So we'll do that. And then in October, we've got a manufacturing trade show that will take place on October 27th in our facility. So we're working with KCAP on getting members of the trade unions here, as well as Sandberg and some other folks, so we're hoping to put on a good show for our community and our neighboring school districts.
Sounds good. Again, that was Mr. Adam Cini discussing the Galesburg Area Vocational Center. Thank you for your time, Mr. Cini.
Appreciate you having me.
Now let's talk with the principal at Galesburg Junior Senior High School, Mr. Tom Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, welcome to the show.
Hey, Sean, as always, thank you for having me.
It's good to have you back on this week. So one of the things we talk about here when we get together as we look at the highlights from the past week and what we have coming up. So if you could tell us some of the highlights that we had in the past week.
Well, outside of the daily activities we normally have here at the junior senior high school, this week was we had our school pictures. And this is the first time that we've run school pictures over a couple days here at Galesburg High School and running multiple grade levels. So we were able to get that done. You know, our counselors are beginning to have senior meetings to finalize and help plan and create goals for our seniors in their future. Construction-wise, we're putting the final touches on our Fine Arts Center, the Roland Haig Auditorium. And, you know, that'll host our school board meeting on Monday night. So we're really looking forward to that being completed.
Sounds good. And so what do we have coming up next week for the school to look forward to?
Well, tomorrow we're going to have a really special event inside the high school. We're walking back the class in 1967, and we'll be providing them with a tour in the morning. So looking forward to that. It's always great to have our alumni come back and visit the hallways that they once walked, and also see the updates that we've made, and you know, get to talk about the progress of the district. So that's going to be something very special tomorrow. But you know, next Wednesday, we are having an open house for our parent and guardians. And so always, you know, anytime we can get people from the community in to see our building, that's really a special moment. But this is set aside just for our parents and guardians, and you know, something outside of just a regular athletic event.
All right, Mr. Hawkins, thank you for your time, and we'll speak again next week.
Hey, thank you, Sean.
That's a wrap for this week's halftime show regarding what's good at Galesburg Junior Senior High School. Thanks again to Galesburg Area Vocational Center Director, Mr. Adam Messini, and Principal Hawkins for their time. Coming up next, we'll have halftime stats and second half action against the Sterling Warriors on 93.7 FM, 1400 AM, WGIL.
Stay connected to what's happening in Galesburg. 93.7 FM and 1400 AM, WGIL, Galesburg's local news.
A 19-year-old Walmart employee was arrested Wednesday for ongoing internal theft. Luke Kinder Leiter was seen on camera stealing over $1,000 in cash from cash registers in 8 separate incidents. Police informed Walmart staff that they could only charge Kinder Leiter for the most recent theft from September 3rd. The case is being forwarded to the state's attorney's office to determine if the charges will be filed for the previous incidents. Kinder Leiter was placed under arrest and transported to the Knox County Jail and charged with theft under $500. The National Stearman Fly-In wraps up during your weekend. There's plenty of fun still to partake in. Today is the short field takeoff, flower bombing, and formation flying contest. Tomorrow is the formation flying contest, and Sunday is the flyout breakfast. Your weekend can also include joining First Lutheran Church in Galesburg for their block party Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6. Sunday afternoon also sees the performance of Ken Waldman at the Carlsenberg State Historic Site. I'm Cameron Line. Top stories at home, top stories from around the world. This is 93.7 FM and 1400 AM, WGIL, Galesburg's News.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. Condolences have been pouring in from around the world following yesterday's death of Queen Elizabeth II. Her son, now King Charles III, addressing the nation today.
We owe her the most heartfelt debt any family could owe to their mother. For her love, affection, guidance, understanding, and example.
The United Kingdom is in an official mourning period ahead of a state funeral for the Queen. Two Atlanta-area deputies were killed while attempting to serve a warrant in Marietta, Georgia, in what investigators are calling an ambush attack.
Cobb County Sheriff Craig Owen says no one was at home when the deputies first rang the bell.
Yes, they was ambushed as they got out of the cars.
It all led to a standoff, but the two suspects later surrendered and are now in custody.
Fox's Eben Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
At Solvera Health, we realize healthcare is local and personal. That's why we're excited about our new primary care clinic in Galesburg, located off I-74 at exit 48B, offering primary care, urology, and women's health. We welcome new patients and accept most insurances. View our providers online at solverahealth.com/Galesburg or call us at 309-233-2836 to schedule an appointment. At Solvera Health, we bring hospitality to healthcare.
We see an awful lot of cars in this business. You could say we're kind of obsessed with making every one of our new and used vehicles look their best inside and out. This is Sarah Yem. From a simple wash and vac to a complete bumper-to-bumper detail, there's nobody more qualified to make your vehicle look its best than the detail experts at Yem. Free pickup and delivery is available, too. It's easy to schedule your detail. Just call the service department at Yem. North Henderson Street, Galesburg.
Galesburg's News, Galesburg's Talk, 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Nike Field, where the Silver Streaks trail Sterling 35-14. And stats often tell the story, but boy, how they tell the story in this one here tonight. Sterling has carried the ball 25 times for 200 yards. All of their touchdowns are rushing touchdowns, so five rushing touchdowns. Again, 200 yards on the ground. Silver Streaks, meanwhile, are 11 for minus 20 on the ground. So it's shocking in what the Silver Streaks have been unable to do on the ground. Now, certainly much of that negative yardage has to do with Tristan Legate's immobility at quarterback and being sacked three times, but Cam McGuire has a couple of carries that are also for negative yardage. The only guy with any positive yardage tonight, Amari Richardson's carried the ball six times for 2 yards. So minus 20 on the ground for the Silver Streaks compared to 205 touchdowns for Sterling. They also have 78 yards through the air. Legate is 7 for 22 passing with 139 yards and 2 touchdowns and 1 interception. Both of those touchdown passes to Mikey Eicher, 35 yards and 38 yards. So the Silver Streaks trail 35-14. And we'll get a word from the coaching staff. Jake's going to get a word with assistant coach Jacob Carl. Let's find out what they talked about in the locker room, Jake.
Coach Carl, a couple glaring things Brad was just going through on the radio statistically. What is going on where offensively we just can't seem to get anything going necessarily on the ground? Was there a concerted discussion in there at halftime about trying to get some of the run game going, or is it just plan-wise behind in the scoreboard is the passing game what we're going to?
Yeah, I think we're going to stick to what we've been doing in the first half. We feel like we're putting guys in the right position. We just got to make plays. We feel like there was a lot of stuff left on the field in the first half, so we'll see how we respond in the second half.
Defensively, I think it was a struggle sometimes. Are formationally they putting us in some tough spots getting aligned defensively?
Yeah, they've been spreading us out a little bit, trying to empty out the box, so we're figuring out how we're going to adjust to that. So they made adjustments. We got to make adjustments off of them.
Okay, Coach, I appreciate the time.
Thank you.
Thanks to Assistant Coach Jacob Carl joining us here at halftime. Quick check of scores from around the area, specifically in the Western Big Six. The big game, the one to watch tonight with the favorites, two teams knowing to, highly anticipated anyway, to battle it out for top half of the conference. Moline leading Quincy at the half 21-10. Rock Island has opened up a continuous clock lead on Alleman 47-6. Midway through the third quarter, Geneseo up on UT 24-6. That game was early second half at last check. And watching the Pekin Dunlap score as well, 14-6. Pekin on top in that one at halftime. Jake, you also saw Metamora Washington was tied, right? Like,
correct.
What, 16? 16.
Yep, tied at 16s. That's a big one tonight. Usually one of the best attended football games in this part of the state.
Yeah.
The Metamora Washington game. Pekin keeping an eye on. We've mentioned them a couple times as possibly the class of the Mid-Illini this year, and showing their grit against a common foe that Galesburg played week one with an 8-point halftime lead on them.
And of course, we mentioned that Dunlap Rock Island game last week where the final score was very similar to what our game was against Dunlap when those two teams played, with Rock Island winning it. And Dunlap's one of those programs that they typically are just always going to be in the game. And even an opponent that may be considered more dominant or stronger, they just find a way to battle and tough it out and make a game of it somehow.
Yeah, that's a product of good coaching.
Yep.
You know, having your players understand the importance of preparing to win a game. The coaches are able to put together game plans that are going to be successful against other teams, and the players have to be committed to executing that game plan throughout the week and then on Friday night.
Sterling kicking off to start the second half. Streaks down 35-14. The return at the 14-yard line up the middle of the field. And a nice burst of speed on the far side of the field as Amari returns it close to the 35-yard line. Well, fellas, last week with the streaks up 38-0 on Thornton, Wildcats came out, put together one of their best drives of the night and finished it off to start the second half. Then got the ball right back. Granted, it was 38-6, but how crucial it would be for the Silver Streaks to come out of the locker room, put together a scoring drive, and set the tone here for the second half and try to come back against Sterling like they did against us last year. Here we go. First play from scrimmage. Straight drop back by Legate. Throws a screen, almost intercepted. Nobody for Galesburg seemed to be looking for the ball. And Sterling about jumped the pass and had the interception, but it falls incomplete.
Amari got tangled up in the mess. It was supposed to go to Amari. Luckily, also, Nick Curtis was in the vicinity, so at least we had an eligible receiver in there. But Nick Curtis was blocking the whole way. Amari got tangled up, got tackled in the wash, and just thrown it away, and lucky it didn't get picked off.
You know, we talked toward the end of the first half, Jake, about the fact that we're going to get the ball. And what Brad's talking about here is an opportunity for us to come out and, again, cut the score in half. It's something we need to do is start chipping away at this lead.
Gino is the wide out to the near side. Legate looks that direction, throws to him, caught at the 39, splits around the defender, almost breaks free, but he gets the first down up to the 48-yard line. A little burst of speed by Gino after the catch. He curled around, got past one defender, and broke open just enough to gain 13.
Geno can be dynamic, and that's, they got to find a way to get the ball in his hands a little bit more. And you can see he makes a 4-yard hitch, a 10-yard gain. Yeah. And it almost looks, Sean, like they were going to run a, I thought they were running a hook and lateral.
I thought so, too.
The way Nolan Carl was running out there, I thought that would be a bold play call to start the second half.
A screen and then a hook and ladder.
Yeah.
First down from the 48. Straight drop by Tristan. Throws near side. Pass complete to Mikey. Splits two defenders, trying to shake free and finally tackled at the Sterling 42, but that's right at the first down marker, and the Streaks will move the chains.
These last two pass plays, what we're basically asking our guys to do is, hey, make one person miss. If you're able to make one person miss, you're going to get a few extra yards. And both, they did give us a first down here. So, Gino, play before. Mikey here, you know, catch the ball, make one guy miss, get to the sticks, get a first down.
It's just that's hard to sustain. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely the case that we have the better athletes on the edge. And if we can get them the ball, they can make it. It's just going to be hard to sustain a drive that way. Hopefully they can mix up some things on the ground as well. But right now, so far, so good.
Actually spot the ball at the Sterling 41. Short snap. Tristan scoops it up off the ground. Finds Kimmett at the 30. 20. Inside two defenders. Tackled close to the 15-yard line.
Mason Kimmett is turning into a pretty favorable target for Tristan.
Well, he is.
He was not a guy on my radar as I was looking at pass catchers out here. When you have Amari and you have Mikey and you have all those guys, Mason Kimmett has been a very reliable receiver. Made a great catch in the first half as well. He is unafraid when he runs those routes across the middle.
He has emerged very quickly in the last 2 weeks.
Well, on the defensive side as well.
Yep.
Interception last week. He almost had another one here tonight. So doing a good job on both sides of the ball.
Three receptions, 52 yards for Mason Kimmett. First down Streaks from the Sterling 16-yard line. The toss play to Aguirre. Cuts up field. Trying to bounce to the outside. Gets past a tackle. Inside the 10-yard line. Maybe the Streaks' most successful run on the ground tonight, and they gain close to 8, maybe 9.
Yeah, a lot of that was
hence the hay.
Obviously, I've shown my my desire to see the Streaks do this a little bit more, and when it's successful, you know, hopefully that'll be something that they continue. Cam has shown the ability to be one of the better rushers in this league, and I'd like to see him touch the football a little bit here.
It was the Streaks' most successful run of the night. Goes as a gain of 7. Prior to that, their longest run of the night was 3. It's 2nd and 3 here from the Sterling 9. Streaks trying to make a bold statement to start the third quarter here. Down 3 touchdowns. In motion, Richardson. Legate passes. Open. Eicher. Touchdown. His 3rd of the night. And the Streaks take 2.5 minutes off the clock and come out firing and scoring quickly. And Legate is down and slapping the turf. In obvious, more than just discomfort.
You know, that's we ran that play a few times in the first half where we bring the jet motion, we do a play action off it, and what they're doing, because they're doing so much man coverage, is that defender is going across the formation with Amari on that jet action, and that opens up a backside. We're just doing a post, a slant real quick to that because they're vacating that area. Their corner is not able to maintain the leverage on him. And so Mikey, once again, is able to get the inside and a nice little pitch and catch for a touchdown.
Well, we go from the near interception on the first pass, the first play of the second half, the first play from scrimmage, nearly intercepted. And all Tristan does the rest of the way is go 4-for-4 passing the ball, including the 9-yard touchdown pass to Eicher to finish it off, but he's down after the touchdown. Now up, standing up, helped up by trainer Brandon Terrell and coach Derek Blackwell, and they're going to have to help him off. He's got the helmet off, and they are carrying him off the field. No pressure on either leg.
That's the same ankle injured in the first half,
yes,
right, Jake?
It's the same
left.
So a very bittersweet touchdown for the Silver Streaks. Credit to Tristan, as much as he has gutted this game out to this point.
Yeah, guys, he's given this team everything that he can give. I'm assuming his night's done.
Yeah, I got to think so.
Yeah, and, you know, then it comes down to the program. And, like, here we got a new holder, you know. That's going to be part of this. And the kick is good. So, we're going to probably get a look at Gino at the quarterback spot. And do they have plays, you know, for Gino to run? How much does your backup quarterback get – get any time with the ones. Gino is a receiver, so we, you know, he's working. It's not like he's sitting back there watching the starter get reps. He's doing other things, so this is not an ideal situation. It's far from ideal right now.
And Jake, we've coached to know, well, long enough to know that you're only as good as your weakest player. You have to give those guys reps, because in football, it's really next man up, and you have to be ready to go, and you have to get those guys prepared. So particularly at that quarterback position, Gino knows it. The coaching staff knows it. I mean, they're one play away from him having to be in, and sure enough, here it is. Tristan gave us everything he could, and now it is a situation where it's next man up, and how well have we prepared for that to get him in his position?
And, of course, remember, that's exactly how Tristan got thrown into the quarterback spot his sophomore year with a devastating injury to Grant Ayton at the time against Quincy.
It's just a little different where Tristan was playing quarterback, right? And he was watching quarterback position stuff and doing all that, where Gino is, he's playing receiver and he's playing safety. You know, he's playing that stuff. But you're right. When you know you're one play away, you're one play away, and that's no excuse. He's going to have to be ready to come in and play ball. Now, he gives us a lot more mobility back there. So I'm assuming maybe there's some quarterback run game stuff, some redraw stuff, and maybe that can be successful too.
Kested backs up to the 8 and returns it to the 20, where he takes a big shot and comes down quickly. And that's where Sterling will start the drive. And I'm watching Tristan over here on the bench.
Yeah, it's not good.
In agony, and it's emotional agony as much as anything. I mean, he is as upset as he is in pain. So Sterling starts a drive from its own 22-yard line. And let's see what the Streaks defense can do here. And, of course, keep in mind how that does shift things around. As you were talking about, Jake, Gino does stay out on defense. Out of that cornerback spot on the outside. The run is to the near side for a gain of 3 to the 25 on a short gain on first down. That's Letter Gerber again. 2nd and 7.
Let's go back to what we said about that drive. What we needed to have it to occur with that drive is coming out of the half, we're getting the ball, take it down and score. And that's what we did. And so now we're in position here. Our defense needs to answer, get a stop, and sure enough, we'll be in position here.
Quarterback keeper to the near side. Schilling gets spun around, stopped at the 30-yard line. A flag comes in, and I think
that's why I got spun around. Yeah.
Yeah, there was one. Yeah, I thought I saw one come in right in the middle there. And then, of course, the other flag comes in late.
And that's going to be the big boy one, too. That's going to be when you see the quarterback's head kind of flap around like that, that's a 15-yard error. Initially, I thought really it was more just a jersey up high, and it spun him around. But either way, the officiating crew is going to call face mask here, and it's going to be 15-yarder.
So it was a gain of 5 and then 15 on top of it. So this will take it near midfield for Sterling.
I'm surprised with the success of the other quarterback,
Kale Ryan.
With Kale Ryan, that they come back with Schilling. I don't know.
It's what they've done the whole game. They just alternated back and forth.
But Kale Ryan had the last two drives that resulted in 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
So to the 46-yard line, to the right side, Letter Gerber again wrapped up and taken down immediately for no gain.
You know, just we're talking about how Gino had been in
for
a couple plays defensively. He's now out of the game defensively and getting snaps here in the sideline.
Yeah, that's what I would be doing too. I mean, I know he's been out there on defense, but they're using Cam McGuire now to replace him. We know Cam is very able. As long as he's healthy, he's very able to cover and do things out there. So I'd be running through whatever my package is for Gino. They're going to have to start running through that stuff.
One man in the slot, 2 wideouts to the left. Schilling backpedals, throws to the far side of the field,
good
complete,
tackle.
And the tackle made right at the 50-yard line. The receiver, Mason Emmon, and it goes as a short gain, maybe 3. Get it to midfield, and it'll be 3rd down Sterling. They've converted on their last 4 3rd down attempts. They're 4 for 8 for the game. This will be 3rd and about 6 at the 50.
Jake, were you able to see who was on that tackle?
That was Mikey.
Okay. Nice open field tackle. Good break.
Yeah, pass incomplete to the near side. So 4th down. intended receiver Justin Null. As I was looking down, writing something down, and they do send the punt unit out. So Streaks in two series have done what they needed to do. One offensively, march it downfield and score. Now one defensively.
Good place to bring a block here.
They did give up a first down, but stopped the drive at midfield. I see a flag down. Looked like there was some movement at the line. The punt goes out of bounds inside the Galesburg 30. They'll mark it out right at the 30.
Yep.
Okay. I thought it was more about the 27, but take those 3 yards. So no return, and the Streaks have it at the 30 with 7:28 to go third quarter. They've scored in one possession here to start the second half, cut the lead to 14. Do it again here. We really got a ball game on our hands.
Absolutely.
So credit to the defense, but again, with Geno Williams in at quarterback, who's taken one snap, and that was earlier in this game on a toss play that didn't go very well. He's lined up in the short gun, play fake. He's going to keep it to the near side. He's got some room. 40, first down, still
keep
on his
going.
Feet.
Go,
breaks
Gino.
Free. 50, Sterling 40. One man at the angle, and he's chased out as Geno bobbled the ball coming up the near sideline.
Yeah.
But he's out at the 26-yard line, and the play fake at the line of scrimmage, and Geno uses his speed, and the Streaks are in business. And a Sterling player down out of bounds who made the tackle. The biggest run play for the Streaks out of the quarterback spot in a long time.
Yeah.
You said he's dynamic, so we just got a good look at that right there.
Right,
the
and
gates.
I don't know if he went the right way or the wrong way. The play fake looked weird to me. It wasn't the typical redraw what you would normally see, but it's just athleticism makes up for those kinds of things, right?
Yeah, so, he slipped some tackles near the line of scrimmage, too, so he made a miss.
We know he can do that, right? So it does bring a dynamic to the offense that was missing. And it's about how will Sterling, how are they going to adjust to this? So we'll see, right? How many plays does Geno have in him, right? We can't redraw the whole night, I don't think. How much does he know? How much the playbook can we continue to run?
Well, and, we referenced the loss of Grant Ayton that got Tristan Legate in as the starting quarterback, where he's remained until this series. And, of course, one of the things we lamented when Ayton went down was his mobility at quarterback and the threat that he provided for the Silver Streaks offensively with his ability to run and throw the ball. Now here's Geno back in with his mobility, and he shows it right from the first play.
But that game that Tristan came into, didn't he throw for about 250 yards?
Yeah, he won the game.
Yeah,
yep.
Right.
So just the difference in quarterbacking styles, and now Sterling has to change on the fly for something that they haven't scouted. And the Streaks can try to take advantage of it here, and they certainly do on the first play from scrimmage. First down from the 26-yard line of Sterling with 7:18 to go third quarter. And whistles as this play gets underway.
Coach is not happy over there.
You call a timeout before the...
I don't... Nope, we got a penalty.
Offsides.
Defense.
So, 5 more yards for the Streaks down to the Sterling 21. It'll be 1st and 5.
And that handoff was not clean.
Nope.
They were going to run a little jet, which is a timing thing, and Geno doesn't have the timing. So this is learned on the fly, not a clean handoff. So, again, we got some things we got to... It's tough to learn on a Friday night, but that's what's got to happen here.
But Streaks, again, potentially taking advantage, hopefully, of a 5-yard penalty here. 1st and 5 from the 21, 7:16 to go, down 2 touchdowns. Legate still being tended to on the bench. Mason Kimmett also on the bench with his helmet off. Sitting about 5 feet to the right of Legate. Williams on the carry, trying to find a hole to the left side, gets down low, hangs onto the ball, gets inside the 20 to the 19. A short gain, but on 1st and 5, that's still good. So 2nd and 3.
Fellas, I was talking earlier about next man up. We have to keep in mind, too, that this is why we have the JV games that come up on Mondays. Because all last season, Geno was a quarterback there.
True.
He ran the quarterback position all season for that team. And so, you know, he's getting reps, and that's why we have that in place, because if you're the backup to the starting quarterback and you do the preliminary game, he's not taking snaps at quarterback. But that's why we put the JV game to a Monday, so he's able to go and get those snaps to develop.
Straight drop by Gino. Looking, now steps up in the pocket. Here comes the pressure, and he's tackled for a loss back at the 24-yard line. And basically spotting the quarterback, Sean, just as you talk about everything that John Willis was doing for the Silver Streaks for the last 2 weeks. Saw the linebacker do that for Sterling and took Gino down at the 24 for a loss of 5. So from 1st and 5 to 2nd and 3, now back to 3rd and 8.
But the question is, can their spy be athletic enough to contain Gino?
First 3rd down opportunity for the Silver Streaks in the second half. They were 3 for 8 in the first half. Back to pass. Gino looking long downfield. Mikey, just outside of his reach in the end zone. He had his man beat. It was a well-thrown ball by Gino, and Mikey just couldn't. Maybe one more step, and he would have been there.
Looks like the Silver Streaks are going to bring the field goal unit out here.
About a 41-yarder.
About a 41-yarder with a new holder, which is also Gino at this point. And holder does matter. I mean, it's, you know, the kickers get particular about how, you know, the angle and everything.
Yeah. It's
and,
a trust.
Oh, yeah. It matters.
So the ball would be down at the 31-yard line. 5:33 to go, 3rd quarter. Looks like a good hold. Sam's kick has the length, and he's got it.
No,
he just missed it. Boy, it looked good from up here.
The length was there. It just went wide left. You know, he had enough, and it was just
– the ball was sidewinding a little bit.
Yeah, and that's probably, you know, not to put it on anybody, it's probably an issue of, you know, the angle wasn't quite what Sam was expecting or wanting. But he got it there. That's the first kick Sam has missed all season.
Yep. And again, it had the distance. Yeah, it wasn't a pretty kick, but he had the distance.
Right, which makes me think there was something a little funky about the way the ball was down. And
it didn't miss my butt.
No, it didn't.
No, couldn't have.
Yeah.
And what were we just reading at halftime? Sam's got 13 goals already in the soccer season.
Right.
For a very successful Silver Streak soccer team at 5-1-2, I believe, or 5-2-1.
Is that John that got through there?
Yeah, John Willis on the solo tackle there. That was very nice.
Yep.
So the return to the 20 is where Sterling starts this drive. Why is the clock running?
It's 2nd down.
It was a run play.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. We didn't kick off.
Missed the field goal.
Yep. Trying to scamper around to the outside. Kyle Ryan slips the jersey tackle in the backfield, gets up to the 30. That's right at the first down marker. So looks like they're waving the sticks. They're not going to measure.
Now this is a real
problem.
Now
player down for the Streaks.
Another problem here, because if Curtis is down, now he's got to come out. His backup is Mason Kimmett, who is also on the sideline with his head off. I'm hearing that is a...
His helmet off.
Yeah, sorry. Did I say his head off?
Yes.
I meant his helmet.
I knew what you meant.
Guys, if you're worried out there, his head is not off, but his helmet is, and he's the backup to Curtis. All right, so now we're, you know, looking at maybe a sophomore coming in here. I saw Alfred getting some time there last week. I'm not sure what they're going to do in this spot. So, you know, things really starting to run thin here for the Silver Streaks.
By Alfred, you mean Alfred Ayala?
Sorry, Alfred Ayala.
Can he play? He just played the whole preliminary game.
Yeah.
Per IHSA rules.
I don't know. With COVID, did they change? It used to be 6 quarters. I'm not sure, and I haven't seen anybody run on. I'm trying to find who's going to be that, who's going to take that spot.
And, of course, going back, that's why in the Western Big Six Conference they moved the freshman game to the preliminary game ahead of the varsity, so that
we only have 10,
so that you didn't have to worry about that rule. But then COVID just as quickly changed everything. All right, Streak scrambling defensively here.
Nolan Carl's going to play that inside spot now.
As Sterling comes set.
Yeah, there we go. We got to use the timeout.
4:28 to go, 3rd quarter. Streaks down two touchdowns, 35-21. We'll take a timeout as well. 4:28 to play third quarter on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Galesburg High School Football and WGIL is brought to you in part by Templeton Roofing, Galesburg and the surrounding area's oldest and most trusted residential and commercial roofing contractor. And by Go Van Gogh's, the T-shirt factory at 237 East Tompkins Street in downtown Galesburg.
There have been hundreds of gray houses bought and sold this past year, and there are still great properties on the market, like the ranch-style home on North 1st Street in Henderson. Get the details at galesburg.info, keyword for sale by owner.
Tune in for Fighting Illini football tomorrow as Illinois takes on Virginia. Coverage begins at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
It's not funny.
No.
We shouldn't be laughing about it. We're laughing at ourselves, of course. But the Silver Streaks down two touchdowns, 35-21. Galesburg forced to call a defensive timeout to get things squared away. First down, Sterling from the 30. Out of the gun, play fake, Ryan, under pressure from two sides, wrapped up and taken down back at the 20-yard line.
Cam McGuire getting some defensive time now, makes his presence felt.
Xavier Van Dyke held the outside. That's what turned Ryan around the other direction, and then Cam came through a hole, tracked him down, took him down for a loss of 8.
Now we got Nolan Carl playing the inside backer. Gino now has to come into the ball game again. Not too many times in Western Big Six play do you see your quarterback also out there on defense, but that's just got to happen for the Silver Streaks tonight.
As Sean was saying off air during the break, it's go time. Now they put Ryan under pressure again, steps up in the pocket, finds a man wide open on the far side. Streaks trying to contain him. He rolls down close to the first down marker. John Sibley made the stop over across the field at about the 38, and I think that's where they're going to say he was down. So he gets close to a first down. They're actually going to mark him at the 37, so it'll be 3rd and 3 here.
You know, I've seen many times this season where John Sibley's sitting there on an open field tackle one-on-one with somebody, and I don't think he's missed those.
They don't miss much.
No, when he breaks down, you're not getting by him.
3rd and 3, Sterling. Running play to the left. Stopped and then pushing forward at the first down marker. They'll cross.
Should be enough. I think
and
they
get
got
to
it.
The 41. They needed 3. They got 4. And a new set of downs. All right, so we have not seen A.J. Kested at all here in the second half. For Sterling. They'll keep it on the ground to the fullback, the H-back Braden Beardsley, a sophomore, 5'8", 195, and he'll pick up a couple. Because Lettergerber was getting the carries earlier on the previous possession, and Kested, who ran for 107 yards and 2 touchdowns in the first half, has not been on the field, at least offensively, in the second half. Remember, he did, wasn't he down in a play defensively when Eicher caught
yes.
the touchdown earlier?
Correct.
So that's having an impact on this game as well. As Ryan is flushed out of the pocket, his flag is down in the backfield, and he's chased down, taken down at the line of scrimmage on the far side of the field.
So both sides really dealing with some things right now. We haven't even talked about Tablante, who's over on the other side. He was should be the feature back, really, for Sterling tonight, and he's
right.
over there not dressed. I see him. I see his jersey, but he doesn't have pads on, so... Man, it's week 3 and we've got some serious issues with both of these Big Six teams going forward. The right now looks like they're bringing a set of crutches over, which isn't a good thing here. I'm assuming those are for Tristan right now. If he's gonna either stick around or is he gonna go get some treatment on that thing? There's all kinds of issues these guys are playing through.
Streaks must have waved off the penalty. I never saw him call it, but we're back to play here. So 3rd down.
There's a hold.
3rd and 10. I assumed it was, but they called it quickly and declined it quickly. And now the pass deflected at the line of scrimmage falls incomplete, and the Streaks defense holds and down 2 touchdowns, forcing a punt here from the Sterling 41-yard line, excuse me.
We're seeing the seniors stepping up right now and making some big plays. And last week we saw John Sibley on a return step up and make one. I think now's another time for that.
Yep, punt return, which was the Streaks' first score of the game in their win over Thornton. No rush on the punt. high punt, hangs up in the air. Sibley runs under it at the 33, coverage there, and he returns it for 5 to the 38 with 2:02 to go in the third quarter.
Surprised they didn't call that, right, Sean?
It was right in front of him.
I know. Yeah, there was a block in the back that streaks that, you know, unfortunately, well, fortunately for us, it wasn't called. So we'll get the ball right where we are at this Sterling with another guy down.
Yeah, up here at the 47-yard line. He was holding the back of his leg like a muscle cramp.
Yep.
And that seems to be what they're trying to do there, stretch it out. So two possessions for Sterling. Streaks have held him scoreless here in the second half. Galesburg takes over at its own 38 with just over 2 minutes to go in the third quarter, trailing 35-21. So in case you're secretly lamenting, sitting at home thinking, oh, if only, if only.
Recramp.
If only we'd had that field goal. But even with the field goal, it'd be an 11-point game. So would still need a touchdown here to make it a one-possession game, even if they had made the field goal on the last possession. So it's much the same situation from a scoreboard standpoint if the Streaks can put together a scoring drive here. They've moved the ball effectively here in the second half. Down two touchdowns, trying to creep back into the game. With Geno Williams in at quarterback, and injuries becoming a major part of the story.
You know, I said it back when we were down 28-7. You know, I said that this game is better than what it the scoreboard is showing. We have some glimpses here of things that are happening, and we just need to, as I said a few times, get our feet under us, and we have. And so here we are with an opportunity now to chip away even more.
In motion, Geno
counter.
Turns, hands off to Aguirre to the near side, 40. Trying to bounce to the outside, 50.
Push
crosses
shoulder.
Into the Sterling, 40, pushed out of bounds. And that little misdirection at the line of scrimmage with a fake handoff to Amari and the turn to Cam. Where is the flag? I'm looking back in the backfield.
Side judge.
Way on the far side?
Yep.
Hold.
No, there's no the back.
Back in the back.
Yep. Still don't see a flag.
Oh, there now is. I see it. Boy, it must have been sitting right on the hash mark. Well, that negates a big run by Aguirre that would have given the Streaks first down on the Sterling side of the field. Now it'll be behind the sticks after the penalty.
And it occurred in a spot that was not going to affect the run one way or the other. And
yeah.
those are the penalties that, you know, we made those week one. And something like that, man, you get the offense going, and then that penalty just brings you back. And now you're first and 25, and it's just, or first and 20. Man, that's just a killer. That is a killer.
So eighth penalty of the night against the Silver Streaks for 75 yards. First and 20 with a minute 54 to go in the third quarter with the Streaks down two touchdowns. In motion. Hand off. Is that to Eicher? I think it was.
No, that was to Amari.
Was it?
Yeah, that was to Amari, and now Amari's down.
Oh, here comes Mikey. Just didn't get a good look at the number. So, yep, so he's slow to get up. And a loss back to the 25.
And trainer Brandon is, I think he's doing something with Tristan over here. I don't think he's really aware.
Well, with Amari coming off, some good news that Nick Curtis puts the helmet on, and he's coming back into the game. So after he went out and was slow to get up earlier and then went out, it's good to see him back in, and he'll line up in the backfield here. Amari didn't go too far off the field. He's not heading back to the bench for anything. He's got his helmet back on, holding his helmet, standing next to Nolan Carl, and all indications from where he's standing and how he's standing on the sideline, he's ready to pop back in. Aguirre goes in motion. Geno drops the ball, picked up on to his left by Curtis, who crosses the 25 to gain a yard. Johnny on the spot turns it into a positive play of a yard and avoids potential disaster, but the Streaks now facing third and 22.
Yeah, this was definitely not the the possession that we wanted. Started with a block in the back.
That negated a big run.
Yes.
Yeah, it just turned everything. It turns everything around.
And we're third and long.
And then the loss on the first play from scrimmage as we wind down to 40 seconds to go in the third quarter with the Streaks down two touchdowns. Aguirre in motion, and the snap goes through Geno's hands. He chases it down. Three Sterling there, players there to recover the fumble at the 15-yard line. A little bit of a high snap, but it just went right through Geno's hands.
Yep.
Just missed it.
And Sterling recovers. Second turnover of the night for the Silver Streaks. And the second time they've turned it over, giving Sterling the ball in this neck of the woods. So much happening positively for the Silver Streaks for so long in that third quarter. And in the final 34 seconds, Sterling could just as quickly turn this back around, starting this drive from the Galesburg 15.
Yeah, I mean, at halftime, you got to come out and just tell your guys win the third quarter and see what happens. And the Streaks are doing that. But that could be all negated here with a short field for the Sterling offense.
Handoff on the ground. They'll go, or rather, Schilling, the quarterback, hangs on to it. And he'll advance the ball inside the 10, stopped close to the 5-yard line. He'll be short of the first down at about the 6.
Sterling's going to be content just to run this down, get it to the fourth quarter, flip the field. Smart decision.
3-2-1. End of the third quarter. So the Streaks do win the quarter, but not enough. Still down two touchdowns, and Sterling knocking on the door when we start the fourth quarter to come back from the Galesburg 6. 35-21 Sterling on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Where are your shades?
All I have are those clip-on things, and I hate them.
You know they make prescription sunglasses.
You think I'm made of money? You just bought my latte.
Kehoe has buy one pair, get a second half off every day. That includes prescription sunglasses.
At Kehoe, of course you get the best eye exam available. And you get buy one pair of glasses, get the second half price.
Every single day.
So grab those prescription sunglasses you've been wanting. Get protection from the UV rays and look fabulous doing it.
In Galesburg and Monmouth.
At Kehoe Eye Care, we care for people, not just eyes.
News, talk, sports on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
Three quarters gone here at Van Dyke Field, 35-21 Sterling. Warriors with the ball as we get ready to start the final quarter. They'll have second and one from the Galesburg 6-yard line after a turnover by the Silver Streaks. That gave Quincy gave Sterling the ball at the Galesburg 15-yard line. And the Streaks only cut into the lead by one touchdown, but had momentum. And then a penalty negated a big play after the defense had done its job. The run to the right side is a touchdown to start the fourth quarter. And Sterling pushes that 21-point lead at the half right back up to potentially 21 with the extra point coming. Legate is out of the game. Mason Kimmett has the jersey and the shoulder pads off, so he's out. And the Streaks aren't going to get any sympathy from Sterling after all the injuries they had last year and played through, and injuries that we've already talked about here tonight and have continued for them. It's been a rough night all the way around.
And yeah, let's hope, you know, that this isn't something that's, you know, season-ending or
is
going to be extended here for Tristan. But gosh, man, the luck of the Silver Streaks here in the last 4 or 5 years at the quarterback position, going back to Connor, going to Grant. I mean, it's hard. This game's hard enough in this conference, and then when you're doing it with your backups all the time, it sets you back, man. It's a tough one. It's a tough road to. Tough road to overcome, but it, like you said, nobody's going to feel sorry for you. So there's no choice but to get out there and just keep fighting. Keep fighting with who you got.
Extra point is no good. 40 seconds is all Sterling took to score those, or to cover those 15 yards in two plays. Second touchdown run of the night for quarterback J.P. Schilling. In the quarterback rotation that Coach John Schlemmer runs for the Golden Warriors. And now the Streaks will have it back. Right back where they started the second half, down 20. Not 21, but down 20. With 11:54 to play in the game. And I saw Geno Williams down here on the sideline practicing taking snaps as he gets ready to go back in.
I mean, absolutely every opportunity you can at this point, because those last two snaps, we had one that was dropped and picked up by Curtis, and the other one resulted in a turnover.
Kick to the far side of the field. And the run back to about the 20 and stops in a big hurry. Big hit on Lewis.
A familiar ground here for us. I mean, we've gone down three scores already, and we continue to respond. So what is the resiliency of this team?
Right.
You know, we've
seen it.
Yeah, and so here we are at 11:49 to go in the fourth. Again, down three scores, and how are we going to come out and respond?
Sterling had that big fourth quarter comeback against the Streaks a year ago. Streaks want to try to replay it on their side tonight. Pass to the outside, Amari, back into the game, caught. Advances forward for a short gain on first down. Stop made at about the 24. Looks like some talking going on at the end of the play.
They got separated. Cooler heads prevailed there.
Saw Mikey Eicher come running in from the outside.
We're down so many guys. The Streaks have been able to run in receivers with the play, but now we got to call receivers to the sideline and run them back out. I mean, there's just, you know, there's only so many out there. Football is, more than any other sport, a numbers game. You need lots more than 11 guys to go out there and be successful.
You know, we talked about this actually before we even went on the air for our first game, knowing the number of players the Streaks were counting on to play both sides of the ball. And we had said early on, can't afford to lose any guys. Geno slips, falls down, tries to shovel the ball away. There's a flag down in the backfield. It's scooped up by Schilling in return. The officials never whistled the play dead. Well, he threw that ball, and it skimmed across the ground, so it should be an incomplete pass. And I think that's what Derek Blackwell is saying. Schilling scooped the ball up off the turf and returned it. The white hat is bringing the ball back out. I never heard a whistle. Now he's...
incomplete pass.
There we go. Now he's waving it off.
Holding.
And holding against the Silver Streaks.
So a 10-yard penalty is better than...
6 points.
Six points.
Now, did Geno get tripped up by one of the linemen? Got his feet tangled up?
Yeah, that's what happened. So he's back to pass, he's trying to take off running, he gets tripped up, and as he's going down, he kind of tries to
just
underhand flip it.
Yeah, or sort of slinged it off his side.
Yeah.
So the holding penalty, a back up the Silver Streaks 10 yards, which we're still waiting for them to walk it off. 10:44 to go in the game. This is pushing the Streaks close to 100 yards in penalties for the second time in 3 weeks. And back it up to the 11.
Spot of that foul was just outside the point at which it would have been a half the distance penalty, but it is a full 10-yard compliment here.
So first down and 23. Geno slings it again. And another flag down on the backfield as the pass is incomplete at the 20, and the Streaks' intended receiver slow to get up, just out of bounds.
This is going to be a late hit on the quarterback. So
now
this will
pops up. That's Nolan Carl holding his back leg.
This will go for the Silver Streaks.
So there's the personal foul. So 15 yards back for the Silver Streaks.
That'd be a first down, right?
Yes, that's automatic.
And that is from the line of scrimmage, not from where the hit was made, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
That should take it out to the 26, yes. So first down from the 26-yard line. 10:40 to go in the game. 41-21 Sterling. Out of the gun, Geno. Fakes the handoff. No, goes the other direction to Cam. And can't avoid a diving tackle in the backfield to take him down for a loss of 6.
That was counter again. We ran that earlier for a big gain, and we actually got it called back because of a block in the back.
That's right.
We ran it here, and the same result that we had in the first half where we have penetration. And a counter is not going to work with penetration because it takes time. It's misdirection. You try to come back. You have guys pulling. And if you have defenders that are in the backfield, those pulling offensive linemen can't go anywhere. And all of a sudden, the play gets backed up, and you're tackled for a loss, which is what happened here.
We got Mikey and Tristan and Nolan and Cam in a class. It's going to be a sullen mood on Monday, I'm afraid.
Oh, boy.
On a screen, complete to McGuire.
Nice play.
But he's taken down for a loss behind the line of scrimmage back at the 16, and the Streaks lose 4 more on the screen play. Good open field tackle in the backfield. Don't let Cam break free.
So kind of an interesting dynamic that I've been watching the last few plays is Marcus Lewis is the player who runs off the field, gets the play from Coach Blackwell, and then he goes into the huddle and calls the plays. Obviously, this is not something that Geno's used to doing. So Marcus is calling the plays, and then Geno goes off and runs it. This is not how they operate, obviously, with their starter in the ballgame.
Making it work.
This
is what you have to do.
It's it.
Third and 20, 4 wide for the Silver Streaks. 2 on each side. Pressure on Geno. Ducks under 1. Then the pressure from the backside the other direction takes him down back at the 9.
Now, that pressure, that pocket clapped so quickly. It doesn't matter if it's Geno or Tristan in there.
Yeah. Nope.
We have to have better pass coverage than that.
Could be Michael Vick back there, and he's not going to be able to get out. Tracen gets beat on the edge, and then you got pressure up the middle as well. There's just nowhere to go.
Yeah. And I said pass coverage, I meant pass protection.
So Geno sacked for a loss of 6. And it brings up 4th and 26 from the 10. Satiski gets the kick away, a wobbler to the side. Takes a little bit of a Galesburg roll, bouncing at the 37 to the 40. Streaks down it there by Nolan Carl back in the game. Didn't stay out for very long, as he came off favoring the leg a few plays back. Sterling starts on the Galesburg side of the field at the 40 with 8:07 to play in the game, leading by 20.
Well, that was not the response that we were hoping for. We talked about being down 3 scores before and come out, and we just the best thing that happened to us was the penalty. When they hit Geno late, we got 15 yards out of that. They went backwards three straight plays
after that.
Yeah, got a fresh set of downs and then went backwards from there.
Cardinals did lose to Pittsburgh 8-2. So 2 disappointing losses in a row. Now Lettergerber breaks one off up the middle and takes it all the way for a 40-yard touchdown. A big hole to the right side. Then he got into the open field and then just veered left right up the middle of the field. A 1-play scoring drive. A 40-yard touchdown run. And Sterling opens up a 26-point lead with 8 minutes to play. So the Streaks stopped the extra point on the last attempt. Freshman Gebhardt back in. And flags as he kicks this one away. Boy, he really got his leg into that one.
Yeah, they're going to catch Nolan Carl here, trying to jump the gun a little
bit.
Yeah,
he got a
little frisky there.
Did he make it? I guess they blew it dead, didn't they?
Yeah,
it's a dead ball immediately.
Right, because
Right. So you retry, you're going to move him up half the distance.
He did make it. So next attempt.
Well, something was off there,
too. Yeah, he came flying in. Mikey came flying in from the left side that time.
Now they called offsides on us. The other judge did, line judge. Half of their line moved.
So neither time have they moved the football.
I noticed that the first time. I thought they're spotting him down at the same place. And they're doing it again. And Streaks offsides again. They just keep trying. They just keep jumping the gun too much off that left side.
Well, why not keep trying it if we're not going to get penalized, right? They just put the ball back down where it goes. I mean, how many times? So that time they get Mikey. They've gotten Mikey twice and Nolan once.
Yep. Uh-huh. He will jump the gun from the right side. Nope, we get this one away clean. Streaks attack. They don't get there in time. The kick on the fourth time is good. And it's 48-21, 8 minutes to go in the game. Streaks down 27 on WGIL and WGIL.com.
Todd Ettinger, co-owner of Hinchliffe Pearson West Funeral Home.
I was working with some folks the third time over my career, and I said, I'm sure sorry that we have to meet like this. And they said, but at least you're here to help us with this because we have to do it. And that was the perspective for me that I thought, I really appreciate serving this community.
The friendly and familiar faces of Hinchliffe Pearson West are grateful for the opportunity to help you through the hardest days.
Hinchliffe Pearson West in Galesburg and Abingdon.
Tune in for Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. Weekdays at 2 on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
48-21 Sterling, 8 minutes to play in the game. Fighting Illini football tomorrow on WGIL, 2 o'clock pregame. Non-conference matchup against Virginia. Want to talk about that one, Hick? The way this one's going, and gaining more interest in what's happening tomorrow. Now Sterling kicks it out of bounds for a penalty. Streaks will have it at the 35.
That ball didn't land inbound.
No, it didn't. It just took a complete shot to the right.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be heading down to the game tomorrow. Watch that. Hopefully see the Illini. Cheer them on to victory.
Hope so. It's been a rough one here tonight. Didn't start off that well. It did start off that way. Two plays into the game, but Streaks rallied, tied it up, made a game of it. And Sterling put together a couple of scores. Streaks had to start chasing. Legate was hurt early, battled through it, fought through it. Streaks down 21 at halftime, scored quickly in the third quarter, got it to 14. Legate went down. Streaks had a chance at a field goal that came up just off the mark as Gino scrambles to the outside for a gain of close to five on first down. But then a turnover deep in Galesburg territory, a fumble that Sterling recovered at the 15-yard line, really just turned this game right back around. And instead of the Silver Streaks battling to make a tight game of it, ended up watching that deficit grow to 20 and now 27 with 7.5 minutes to play in the game. Teams like Sterling that are so strong traditionally, one of the reasons why is you can't make mistakes against them. They'll take advantage of it every time. Gino scrambles forward as the pocket collapses around him, crosses the 50 to the 49. And it'll be third and a yard and a half.
Yeah, he gave a pump fake there. I don't know if it was a, Jake, if you could see if it was a hitch and go or if he was just trying to look off the safety. I don't know exactly what it was, but once he pulled it back and thought about throwing it, that's when he tucked the ball and ran.
Yep, trying to run a little hitch and go to the outside there. Mikey did a little stop and go. The play is set up. We've run enough hitches out there.
Toss play to the outside.
First down.
Curtis, with, or rather Cam with a first down to the Sterling 40-yard line. And a nice to see Cam running with a little zip after not being able to play last week. And he'll march it down to the Sterling 39-yard line. Good third down conversion for the Streaks. New set of downs from the Sterling 39-yard line. Galesburg on the road at Geneseo next week. Maple Leafs leading UT at last check. Boy, Cam in all kinds of trouble in the backfield after the toss. Runs into the back of one of his own linemen who's got pushed backwards from the Sterling defensive line. And then once he tried to spin out of that, the rest of the white jerseys were converging on him for a loss of five.
It's a tough block for Jamari, the left tackle there. The way they're aligned for him to try to reach the outside shoulder and pin him in so that Cam can get the edge. It's just, that's a tough ask. You can try to drive him to the outside and Cam can cut in like he did on the last play. But, yeah, just not a successful design against the defense that's up there right now.
Second and 15 Streaks back at the Sterling 44-yard line. 5.5 minutes and counting here in the fourth quarter. With the Streaks down 27. Deep drop by Gino, now steps up in the pocket. Little flip over to Amari for the completion to the 40, 35, and then taken out of bounds short of the 30-yard line. That gets the loss back from the previous play, plus more, gives the Streaks a much more manageable third down at about third and three.
That was a screen, wasn't it, Jake?
Trazen was way far downfield, so if it wasn't a screen, I don't know what he was doing. So, yeah, I think that was a little bit of a screen. The timing was weird off it, but Trazen was kind of downfield leading the way and worked out to a positive gain there.
Goes as a gain of 13, brings up third and two. Often talk about speed to space, just got that little flip to Amari and let him do his work. Third and two, slinging it across the middle.
Grabbed.
And off the hands of Nolan Carl, who, yeah, thought he was being held from behind by Dylan Ottens out of the linebacker spot. No flags come down, though. And the Streaks in two down territory on fourth and two at the Sterling 31, down 27 with 5:10 to go in the game.
Arm strength is not an issue with Gino. He really slung that thing.
Yep.
And actually put that on in a pretty good spot. It was just a little bit too hot to handle for Nolan coming across the field at only like 3 yards depth from the line of scrimmage at that point. So,
and I still feel like Nolan was trying to catch it with one hand. I feel like the defender had one of his arms locked up.
McGuire runs a play in from the sideline. Streaks run three wideouts to the short side of the field. The toss play on the keeper by Gino after the fake. He's got the first down, crosses back to the 25, inside the 20, stacked up, and then pulled backwards, still on his feet. The officials let it play all the way through, and Gino down to the 16-yard line for a first down. Gain of 15. Jake, you'll get to see your buddy Joe when we go to Geneseo next week.
Yeah.
Athletic Director Joe Nichols. How far back do you guys go?
I've known him a while. He's been the AD at United, and I see him at baseball games. As he's the baseball
toss
coach at
play.
Geneseo.
Was that almost intercepted?
So the fumble's on the ground, and Sterling does have the ball.
They do, okay. Yeah, trying to toss it to Cam.
Yeah.
And Sterling was already in the backfield when that play was made. And I think he got a hand in there and knocked it out before it could get to Cam and then just picked it up. Well, Joe Nichols doesn't miss any opportunity to send a free shot across your bow every now and then.
No, he doesn't. That's all right.
So 4:40 to go in the game. Third turnover by the Streaks gives the Warriors the ball at their own 22-yard line.
Sterling getting their play call. They get their call on the sideline, then they'll run out and just line up.
And they'll be deliberate here.
Yeah.
Streaks do have all their timeouts remaining, or did they? I actually they used one, I think, earlier in the half. Hand off to the right side, a little bit of a hole, trying to make more of it. Now the officials blow the whistles. Blow the play dead on the handoff to Gavin Church, who will pick up three to the 25.
I believe that's his first carry. I don't remember calling his name tonight.
No, he has had a few carries on the season coming into this. And they have Drew Nettleton, a sophomore, in at quarterback as well. So they've taken both Schilling and Ryan out and giving Kettleton some snaps. The handoff to Church again to the left. Gets to the 28-yard line for a pickup of three more. Third down for Sterling. And the streak's down 27.
Yeah, now
not using those timeouts.
We've seen that the Warriors have done some substitution. Now we're seeing some of our guys get out there. Saw Kenny Ward hit in. John Willis comes out.
Some of the seniors still out there. Aguirre's out there. Carl's still out there. Marcus Lewis, the junior, still out there. The ball gets tipped up into the air on a bad connection on the snap. Nettleton is able to snag it as it comes back down before he gives it up. And I heard PA announcer Jeff Lamb say there's a flag.
Talking about something.
I'm having a heck of a time seeing the flags tonight. I don't know where it is.
Well, I think with our angle here, with the turf and the lights, we have a good glare. And so sometimes that flag comes out and that glare, we can't see it. Seeing some of the people going out there, we have 72. That is going to be Gavin West that's playing on the line. We also have 82, which is
Sal
Kistler.
Oh, they're sending the whole sidelines in now. Oh, the streaks declined the penalty, yeah, so they're going to punt. There we go.
And the two I just mentioned come off.
Good thing you mentioned them before they did.
Got him in. But it's a special team, and you know when you do your special teams out there, you don't change guys. You keep with them because it gets confusing.
So fourth and nine after the loss. They'll keep Null in to punt here. And John Sibley standing at his own 48. They're going to run as much clock off here. Boots it away with 2:40 to go. Sibley camps under it, and then he can't retrieve it. Fumbles it.
They got it.
And Sterling recovers near midfield. He ran up underneath it.
Had to jump
and then
back.
The ball, yeah. Carried a little bit more on him than he anticipated, and he had to come back for it. And Sterling recovers. So the fourth turnover on the Silver Streaks gives the Warriors the ball at their own 49 with 2:34 to play, and now they should be able to run out the clock.
And that is uncharacteristic of John. He's been good hands back there for us all season. Last week he had the punt return for a touchdown, so...
Yeah, not a hands issue there, just sometimes judgment. The outfielder overruns the fly ball, and that's what happened there.
So John comes out, 24. Jamar Range comes in at free safety.
Adrian Phillips is checked in. Trying to get to the outside, and nowhere to go.
Keandre Harrison.
Aramis Morga, the carry.
You got through a flag
and a
side
big loss.
There.
And that does stop the clock with 2:25 to go for the conversation. Personal foul.
Horse collar.
Against the Silver Streaks.
I don't think that was a horse collar.
Well.
That's your opinion.
That's
your opinion,
my opinion. Jake, I'm entitled to it.
You're 50 yards away.
I had a great view of it.
Inside joke on that's your opinion.
We haven't worked that in yet. This is our first chance.
No.
So another 15-yarder against the Silver Streaks puts him over 100 yards of penalties for the second time in three games. Down to their own 39-yard line. 2 minutes is when this snap comes away. Hand off to the right side. Goes to Morga again. And he'll pick up, give him five. To the Galesburg 34.
Corner far side, Jake, that's number 11, isn't that Darius Walker?
Darius Walker, yep.
Darius in.
Darius got some carries last week, scored a touchdown. Second and five here from the 34 with a minute and a half to go in the game. Streaks will drop to 1-2 in the season. Sterling will be 2-1, but 1-0 in the Western Big Six Conference. And the story of this game, unfortunately for the Streaks, will be what injuries did and what injuries may do for the rest of the season, potentially. Hopefully not. High snap, Nettleton retrieves it, hands off, and the Streaks with penetration make a stop for negative yardage. And Marga's pulled back for two.
And there we have number 21, Isaiah Coleman, getting some snaps.
Sterling is able mathematically to take a knee here and run this thing out if they so wish. They may choose to run a play with their young guys out there.
And now under 40 seconds to go, and now they can come set. The snap, the knee, and that'll be it. So the Silver Streaks fall 48-21, again dropping to 1-2 on the season, 0-1 in the Western Big Six Conference. Post-game show from Van Dyke Field coming up next on WGIL and WGIL.com.
When you're talking about any kind of building project, you can't just walk outside and start digging. But you can call Courtright Construction right now and get on top of their list. Site prep is one of their specialties. Trust the pros at Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project.
Want to hand your favorite local charity $100? Nominate them for Hometown Hundreds. Every week, F&M Bank and Galesburg.info draw a winner from the Knox and Warren County nominees, like Western Illinois Reading Council, who just got $100. Nominate now at Galesburg.info, keyword 100.
Nobody covers the Silver Streaks like 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Galesburg Sports.
Silver Streaks fall by a final of 48-21 to the Sterling Golden Warriors. Battled when they needed to, but other issues interfered and just too many things for the Silver Streaks, creating challenges to overcome here tonight. So we'll take a break here. We've got the post-game show coming up. A word with Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell, our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, final statistics. And actually, we're going to talk to Coach Blackwell right now. All right, Jake, send it down to you. Take it away.
Coach Blackwell, as we're shaking Tristan's hand as he walks off, can you just talk for a second about what you felt like he gave you? Obviously hurt early. Did it surprise you that he stuck in there and just grinded that thing out for as long as he did?
You know, it didn't surprise me at all that Tristan stayed in there at all. Like, that's his character and that's how he is. He's going to grind it out till the end, and it was the end, so we had to take him out. I mean, he toughed it out as long as he could. He came out and led a drive in the second half, the first drive of the second half, and we thought we were rolling, and unfortunate for us, he just got a high ankle sprain, so hopefully we can take care of that and get him back in the game.
Yeah, that's what we talked about, too. Came out in that second half and really got things going, and that's unfortunate. And now let's talk about Gino, you know, a guy that we mentioned. He's not just a backup quarterback. He's also on your defense. He's also on your offense. So it's not like he can just sit back there and watch reps as a normal backup quarterback would do. You know, how much of the play sheet was Gino ready for tonight? And, you know, you got to be proud with what he produced for you out there.
You know, Gino and Tristan are just two different quarterbacks, so actually the playbook kind of changes when Gino gets in there. So there's plays that are built more around Tristan, and there's plays that are built more around Gino. So we got to those plays, and Gino ran them well. We didn't get to execute in the second half as well as I thought. So I think Gino did a good job stepping in. I mean, like you said, he plays defense, he plays special teams, he's on offense. He doesn't get many reps at quarterback. I mean, we try to get as many as we can, but he's focused on other things in the ball game. So he stepped up today, and he'll be getting more reps this week.
Yeah, absolutely. So we go on the road next week, Coach. Was it something Sterling did tonight? Obviously a very pass-heavy attack. From the start, even before Tristan was hobbling around, it seemed like you knew you had some advantages out there. You know, there was 22 passes in the first half, you know, for Tristan, and the run game seemed to kind of take a back seat. Again, it planned that way, or was it something Sterling was doing that kind of forced our hand?
Well, they were just bringing everybody, so we were just trying to get behind those backers and hit the slants and hit the little short routes. And we've seen that on film. They were just blitzing, and they're gonna make you pass the ball. So we're like, we'll take advantage of it. We felt we had the better guys on the outside, and we tried to take advantage of it. It just didn't happen today.
Yeah, injury is the story tonight, Coach. Hopefully, you know, as we go into this week and we get on the road next week into Geneseo, do you foresee, you know, issues with, you know, when you have a player like Tristan's caliber and you had Mason Kemet out, when those guys go down, you know, what are you going to ask of your guys in terms of, like, picking their game up this week in practice so that you can compete next week with another Big Six foe that's, you know, frankly, they're not going to feel sorry for us if we're rolling in there with some injuries?
Yeah, not at all. Geneseo is not going to feel sorry for us, so we're going to have to game plan. And for the other guys, we're just going to have to pick up some of the slack because those guys carry a lot of the weight. So for the other guys, they're going to have to just pick up some weight over the course of the week. We'll coach them up that way, and they'll be ready to go on Friday.
Coach, I appreciate your time. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, to Coach Derek Blackwell joining us here in the post game as the Silver Streaks fall tonight 48-21 to Sterling. Final stats are Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game still to come on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL is proud to be connected to Galesburg.
Hi, I'm Tyler Gunn from WGIL. Mark your calendar for the Central Illinois Team Hope Walk this Sunday from 9:30 to 1 at Lake Story Playground Shelter. Gather your team and start fundraising today. All proceeds provide hope and support for those touched by Huntington's disease. Find out how to register on the community events page at WGIL.com.
This public service message is proudly presented by the local staff and management and ownership at WGIL. Get today's local news headlines in your email with the Morning Brief from WGIL News.
It's free.
Subscribe now at WGIL.com.
48-21 Sterling wins it here tonight. Let's run through the final statistics. For the Galesburg Silver Streaks, Amari Richardson, 6 carries, 2 yards tonight. Legate, before the injury, sacked 3 times for minus 15. Cam McGuire, 6 carries for minus 1. Nick Curtis had a 1-yard run, the leading rusher tonight, and the only one with any positive yardage to speak of, Geno Williams. In an emergency situation, his backup quarterback carried it 8 times for 64 yards. He also passed it 3 times, or 3 completions in 4 attempts for 11 yards. Prior to the injury, Tristan Legate finished with 197 yards passing and 3 touchdowns, all of those to Mikey Eicher, who had 4 receptions on the night. Again, 3 touchdowns, 93 yards, accounting for all of the Streaks' scoring, with the exception of Sam Satiski's 3 extra points. Williams also had 2 receptions for 32 yards. Richardson had 3 catches for 29. Xavier Van Dyke had his first reception of the season for 6 yards, and Mason Kemet, 3 catches for 52. Sterling, touchdowns all over the board, all of them on the ground. Quarterback Cale Ryan had 2, 67 yards rushing. J.P. Schilling, the other quarterback, had 2, 5 carries for 26 yards. A.J. Kested, all in the first half, 9 carries, 107 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So accounting for the brunt of the scoring, Sterling did finish with 97 yards passing, 67 for Schilling, and 30 for Cale Ryan. Isaiah Mendoza, the leading receiver, with 60 yards tonight. Penalties, part of the story for the Silver Streaks, again, unfortunately, whistled 11 times for 104 yards tonight. Sterling, 5 penalties for 40 yards. Streaks fall 48-21. Final thoughts from Van Dyke Field when we come back with our Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game on WGIL and WGIL.com.
WGIL, keeping you connected to Galesburg.
Hi, it's Tom Meredith from WGIL. Pull out your favorite black tie attire and join the Fight for Freedom Fund Gala. This annual event helps the community work of the NAACP Branch 3016, including their annual cookout, gospel fest, summer reading programs, and more. Cocktail hour is at 5, the event is at 6. Find out how to get your tickets on the community events page at WGIL.com.
These community announcements are being brought to you by the staff and local ownership of WGIL. Silver Streaks Football on WGIL is brought to you in part by Ford of Galesburg on West Main Street, where your purchase is backed by our promise. By Kehoe Eye Care, they care for people, not just eyes. By Dave's Auto Body in Galesburg, you better call Dave's. By Courtright Construction of Oneida, the right choice for your next project. By Galesburg Nissan on North Henderson Street, home of the lifetime warranty. Silver Streaks Football is also brought to you by Hinchliffe Pearson West, funeral directors and cremation services in Galesburg and Abingdon. Here for you and your family in your time of need.
day.
By Neil Thomas Plumbing and Heating in Galesburg. You deserve to be comfortable in your home, but not miserable when you get the bill. By Yem Auto Group on North Henderson in Galesburg. Home to Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram. Say yes to Yem. And by Solvera Health in Galesburg. Bringing hospitality to healthcare. Proud to bring you GHS Silver Streaks football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL.
You just crashed your car, had an accident, and you don't know what to do. Who do you call? Who can you trust to make your car look like new? Where there's only one name you need to know, there's only one place to go.
Dave's Auto Body.
You better call Dave's.
The official WGIL forecast is brought to you by Justin Cook, State Farm. Providing great insurance rates on bundled auto, home, and life policies. Call for the right policy and save money. Mostly clear tonight, overnight low 59. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 83. Increasing clouds tomorrow night with a chance of showers and thunderstorms overnight, a low of 58. Sunday, showers likely through early afternoon, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high of 67. It's 68 at WGIL.
With the final stats, the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, and comments from Streaks head coach Derek Blackwell, WGIL's coverage of Galesburg High School football continues with the Silver Streaks postgame show on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.
As we close out our postgame with the Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game, Jake, I actually want to start with you because as we were talking, I thought, well, it's kind of a no-brainer tonight, and Sean, I'll let you say who it is here in a moment, but I'm going to let you go, Jake, because I appreciate what you brought up as I too quickly dismissed and overlooked as a legitimate candidate for. So I do want to at least give the nod here, so go ahead.
You don't understand how hard it is to come in and do what Gino did tonight unless you've had to come out and do it. Unfortunately, Streaks fans have had to see it way too much, which is to bring in a backup quarterback to finish the game. And I'm telling you, you know, normally if you have just a regular backup quarterback that gets to sit there and take reps, maybe even play in the JV game and get all that stuff done, that's one thing. What Gino has to do is different. And he's got to run routes in practice. He's got to play defense in practice. He's got to do all kinds of things. So, you know, I wanted to think of just the crunch time of just keeping the offense going as much as it did, to me, is definitely something to think about. However, I do agree with you guys, though, that the impact of the game was most felt by who Sean's gonna bring up as I think is probably the right choice for tonight.
So at a point in the game where we were at 28-7,
yeah,
and we had fourth down and long mm-hmm. to go, and we had a nice pass to Mikey Eicher and a touchdown reception on fourth down. To me, that was a big crunch time play because
it was
because I talked about we were down 28-7. The game felt closer than that. Certainly went down. We put the drive together. We got the score and we made it 28-14. We were within striking distance at that point in time. You know, we saw a fight in our guys. So it's plays like that in a crunch time of a game that are able to keep teams going. You know, and we saw times where it looked like we were defeated. You know, it was like, oh boy, it's we could easily say that we've packed up the tents and we're ready to be done. But we didn't. We came back out and we kept fighting and battling all game long. And I really think that fourth down conversion was one great example of the resiliency of our team to keep battling in the game.
Yep. And then Mikey had the touchdown reception right. In the third quarter sure. that got us back within 14. Right. And mm-hmm. we really had things going at that time, too. Yeah. But, yeah, I agree with you on the fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for sure. So Mikey Eicher, Dave's Auto Body Crunch Time Player of the Game tonight, with the Streaks unfortunately falling 48-21 to Sterling. We're at Geneseo next week. Fellas, we'll see you then.
Sounds good.
Sounds good.
Don't forget Fighting Illini football tomorrow. The Virginia Cavaliers, the opponent in a non-conference game, 2 o'clock. The pregame, 3 o'clock kickoff from Memorial Stadium in Champaign. For Jake Miller, for Sean Hickey, I'm Brad Binowitz from Van Dyke Field, where the Silver Streaks fall tonight to Sterling, 48-21. Good night. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thanks for listening to GHS Silver Streaks Football on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL, Galesburg Sports.